This is Let's Get Jacked Up on Fringe Radio Network.
Hello, you fringe-loving earthlings. This is Captain Lee Walker, the alien here to talk about the fringe. If you like conspiracy theories and very odd topics, well then, this is the network for you. With shows like Spirit Wars with Michael Basham, The Iron Show with Johnny McMahon, Canary Cry Radio and Canary Cry News Talk with Basil and Gons, Giving Understanding and Eyes Wide Open with Leonard Olivares, and with newer shows on the fringe, such as Let's Get Jacked Up with those crazy guys, Jack, Tim, and Bobby, Starship Trailblazer with Tony Floyd, and the newest show, Bigfoot, Terror in the Woods, plus so much more on this network. Say, Mickey Mouse, what network is this?
On Fringe Radio Network.
That's right, Mickey, but you forgot to say .com, you big-eared freak. It's FringeRadioNetwork.com. That's FringeRadioNetwork.com. Look it up, listen, and download today.
Donald, keep it down.
Ready to go live in 3, 2, 1.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on the Fringe Radio Network.
I want to be clear from the start. This is not a game. There is a real battle waging for real souls of men and women and little boys and little girls all around the world. And the stakes in this battle are high. They are higher than any war that has ever been fought or will ever be fought in this world. There is a battle that is waging between the God, little g, God of this age, who is blinding the minds of unbelievers, and a God, big G, God over heaven and earth, who is shining light into hearts. Feel this. There is a true God of light who desires people all over this world to be saved. And there is a false God in this age of darkness who desires people all over this world and in this room to burn in hell. And you and I are right in the middle of it, preaching Christ. This is where we have got to decide who we are.
Somewhere deep in Fresno, California, it's Let's Get Jacked Up! Three sinners saved by grace.
Now, here are your hosts, Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
And welcome to I outlasted the intro music this time, Jack.
I see that. I'm sitting here in shock.
Wow, that's some breath. All right. Hey, everybody, I am so excited to be here this evening with you on Let's Get Jacked Up. We have a very special, special guest. Very special guest, and he's about ready to call in. And so whenever you want to call in, brother, you can go ahead and call in. But before we get to our special guest, Jack, I want to give you some time to talk about a cool fundraiser that's coming up here.
Boy, put me on the spot.
Well,
early.
I did. Okay. By the way, Jack and Blankenship, welcome to the show.
Oh, you're well. Thank you for having me here. In Fresno, at McDonald's, in Clovis, at McDonald's on Herndon and Clovis Avenue. It's the corner of Herndon and Clovis Avenue. on Monday, June 3rd, 5 to 8 p.m. If you go there and have dinner, they're going to donate a portion of what you spend to a youth camp fundraiser. And it's for Life Cathedral Church of God on Maple, and on Maple, south of Herndon. And the church needs your funds. They need the funds to send their youth to camp. It's a great thing. You can go have a good meal at McDonald's, and McDonald's is going to support this, at least this branch. I hope that other people will be attending. I will be attending this and getting something. Please join me there and support the youth going to camp.
Awesome. That sounds great, Jack. I mean, how did this come about real quick?
I took my grandson to McDonald's to play at the Playland because it's all remodeled and new. And I saw this lady putting up signs in the windows, and it was for this event. And I asked her, I said, what's this about? And she told me, and I told her, I said, well, you know, next time you do this, let us know and we'll put you, you know, we'll get the mobile billboard out and we'll put your sign, you can purchase a sign and we'll put you on the mobile billboard and we'll, you know, cruise around your church area and put it out for a couple months, letting people know that your event's starting. And then we'll also talk about it on our show. And she was ecstatic and very thankful. And I think that, that's the ministry, that's part of the ministry that we do, is helping churches get knowledge of their events out there around Fresno and Clovis. If you attend a church here in Fresno and Clovis and you got special events coming up, like, you know, everybody's starting Vacation Bible Schools here soon.
Soon, yeah.
So it's a little too late for that. But if you have an event a couple months out, give us a call. Let us know. And Tim, how do they reach us?
They could email us at letsgetjackedup@gmail.com. That's letsgetjackedup@gmail.com.
Once again, a youth camp fundraiser at McDonald's at 1055 Herndon Avenue in Clovis. It's just off the 168 at the corner of Clovis and Herndon. It's newly remodeled, and it's got a beautiful play area. So bring your family over and have dinner on Monday, June 3rd, between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Very good.
Help these kids get to Christian camp.
Awesome. Very good. That's coming up really soon here. That's Monday.
Yeah, Monday. So this is the right time to know about this.
This coming Monday,
way,
folks.
That way, when you get off work and get your kids, you know, and you can swing by and get the family food and help these kids go to camp.
Yeah, excellent. Bobby, how are you today? I mean, I haven't heard from you yet. How are you? What are we listening to, Bobby? What network are we on?
You're listening to us on the Fringe Radio Network.
Excellent. Wow, you sound really professional there, brother. Oh, Bobby's going to be a little bit late, but we still have him here, don't we, Jack?
Yes.
In spirit, of course.
We got him in spirit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to forgive Tim and I. We just started back working heavy. We're going into our season at our job, and it's going to get real busy, and we're going to be kind of tired when we come out here. But we're going to push through and power through.
Excellent.
Anything else?
No, I mean, our guest tonight is going to be on real soon, and a lot of you know him. I'm not going to say his name just yet, but let's just say he's part of the Fringe Network, just like us. So we're excited to have him on the show. Jack, you were mentioning that you're tired this week. We kind of are back working full-time now, and it's tiring to do this. I mean, to work and do the ministry, because we, you know, we love doing this, but we have to work to get money and stuff like that. So.
You know, and we're going to be working on, you know, getting some merchandise that people can get to support us.
Yeah, you know? Eventually that will
happen. So eventually we're gonna be getting out there. If you have a company that would like to advertise, we'd love the sponsorship and to get us the free time to do this daily. That's our goal, is to do this daily in Fresno.
I was messaging back and forth with good brother Johnny McMahon, who's helped us get on to the Fringe. Basically, we were talking about, man, wouldn't it be great if this was our full-time job, all of us on the Fringe, and to where we didn't have to have another job.
Right.
This was just, self-support.
Well, God can make anything happen.
Amen.
We're currently working on that. We're creating fundraisers that we're going to be promoting.
Yeah, we're not going to say it yet because we're still got to discuss it a few things. Right. But
we're creating fundraiser events and things like that. Tim's band is going. they're playing and they're sounding good. By the way, that show that you did was awesome. And last week's show blew my mind.
Oh, you heard it, huh? Yeah. See, the funny thing is about going live, guys, we don't really hear ourselves. I mean, we hear ourselves talking, but we actually don't really hear how the show sounds until we get home or the next day because we have yet to hear it in its entirety. So, and then when we hear it, we either say, oh, man, that was all right, or that could have been better. Of course, we critique ourselves and very hard on ourselves, but we do hope that you enjoy it. And sometimes it comes out really good.
Well, and we always want to glorify God.
Amen. And that's what it's about.
Everything is to glorify God, and the secondary, and the first is always for God. The second is also for God, and it's to reach those that don't know Him, and to introduce Him to them.
Right.
To Him. And to reach those that don't even know they need God,
Yeah, and as we're waiting for our guest to call in, it's something that you and I have prayed about for so long about let's get jacked up and where it's going and how do we want to go about going with God's ministry, and so we had to pray about it. And we were for a while going a little bit, we were trying different things with the show, and basically he just told us to be like, you know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. Be the three guys and continue to talk about stuff in my word that aren't usually talked about in the pulpit, so.
Yeah. And plug it in. By the way, the things that we talk about are generally taboo topics in church.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? But it's all from the Bible.
It's all from the Bible. And but Tim, we were talking about something a while back. I wanted to mention this. We were talking about something. We were talking about aliens.
Uh-huh.
And we did a show on aliens, right?
Yes.
And well, guess what? The government's now admitting it was on NBC. Last night, I guess, the night before, I heard it on the radio today, that a Navy pilot, they're finally admitting that he saw a UFO, he up close and friendly, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so they're introducing the alien idea as a actual plausible thing now,
Yeah, it was just a matter of time, and I don't know if you could call that full disclosure yet or not, but that is at least more disclosure of some sort.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you said they're finally admitting to this.
Well, it was on NBC last night.
That's pretty
out there, right?
Yeah, that's pretty national.
And I guess they finally decided to acknowledge that this Navy pilot saw a UFO. For real,
right.
And alien UFO, whatever you want to call it. And so we're going to be getting more and more of this. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was, do you remember when I said that you open Pandora's, you as Christians, we allowed Pandora's box to be opened. And so we can't exactly get mad about the things that are coming out. You know, once you open up the box of wild creatures and wild venues, you can get mad, but you let it happen. Okay.
Right.
And you know, it was put out in the news this week that they're that the LGBTQ community, the definition of child molesters or child pedophilia is now been changed
to something softer.
Yes.
Uh-huh. A euphemism, if you will.
Right. And it's now...
I can't remember it either, but I know it's different.
Yeah, it's like they have attraction to younger people.
Yes, Bobby would know.
Yeah, Bobby would know. And this is to soften it. This is to make it okay that they're not perverts or they're not, sexual sinners by having the lusting after young children, you know, and this is all the beginning of making pedophilia legal. This is where it's coming out right now. And they've already been talking about bestiality. So when we start bringing these things up, folks, we're not doing anything except shining a little bit of light on these subjects. We're not crazy. These are coming out in the mainstream now.
Right.
But we've been talking about them for a few years.
Yes, and I know Jack has, especially when we were working together, and he'll bring up things now and then, and he's like, I'm telling you, it's coming to fruition soon. And he says that, and bestiality, and you said something else. What'd
you
say?
Yeah, and Christianity being outlawed.
Yeah.
And
I remember when Bible, Bobby laughed at you about the Bible.
And the Bible being outlawed, you know, and now it's all coming down. It's actually coming out publicly. You know, everybody wants to be, they don't want to have anybody hate them. They don't want to be called a hater. They don't want everybody to dislike them.
Mm-hmm.
But when they change the definition of marriage from a man and a woman, when they change that, the ripple effects of it are now spreading into the Constitution of the United States. And that's a scary thing.
Yes.
And if they make LGBTQ, whatever.
I didn't know there was a P added.
No, there's like 185 of these different genders now.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't even know. I thought there were two. but there's 185 different ones they've noted. And if any document or learning material in California, if it goes against that, then it's a hate document. Well, the Bible clearly speaks against it. And so the Bible becomes a hate document. Therefore, if this passes in California, it will become illegal.
Wow.
Now they're talking about changing the Constitution of America. And that would make it to where, and they said that with the new Green Deal, that offending somebody or being offensive to somebody you can't fall under protection of your religion.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that means that now people of faith, doesn't matter if you're a Christian, Muslim, whatever, Hindu, Catholic, Mormon, if your faith doesn't align with their beliefs and you offend one of them, well, they're now a protected group of people against your learning materials, your education. And so this isn't just an attack on Christians. This is an attack on anyone, any organization that teaches that may teach something different than what they're saying is okay. The school districts have now started teaching gender identification in kindergarten for 5-year-olds.
I know my pastor's daughter has gone through something like this, and I believe, though, she was in junior high, I think. I could be wrong. But now it's getting to the younger age.
Younger age. Yeah. They're now doing it with five-year-olds. They're letting them know at 5 years old.
Well, you better rephrase that. They're not doing it with 5 years old.
No, I mean, what I mean is they're teaching five-year-olds that you have the option of choosing what you want to be.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
And 5 year olds, I'm sorry, but they should not even know anything about this type of stuff.
No. And they're doing full on sex ed with 11 year olds. Okay. And for the time being, in certain, it's not everywhere, but for the time being, you can opt out of it. Okay. But soon it's going to be where you can't opt out of it. And there are some school districts that don't allow you to opt out.
Well, I would pull them out then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm sorry, but if my daughter, at that age especially, is going to go through that, I'm yanking her out. And she's 9, and thankfully so far she hasn't had anything like that yet.
Okay, well, there's another issue.
Okay.
And that is that we can't teach religion in school, right?
Right.
Okay, but all across America, for tolerance and acceptance of Islam, they're teaching Islamic history, and so that people will be more acceptance of Islam. But in some schools, they're even going so far as to giving them exams about the pillars, and that there's no God, that they have to answer the question: there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, and so they're going into history, through history they're teaching Islam, and they're even having some schools are having recognition of their fastings and their feasts and everything else, their religious traditions, and they got them praying in school. We can't do that with Christianity, but they can get away with it with Islam.
Wow.
And this is happening right now, guys.
And what state did you say that was?
Everyone. It's happening across the United States.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And one kid, they wouldn't let the kid get a drink of water at a water fountain. They taped up all the water fountains at school because they were for compassion for those children who were recognizing Ramadan and fasting for the entire week, they wouldn't let the rest of the kids in school drink water.
Man.
They had to fast too.
Wow. It's here, folks. Warfare in America is right here in our face. Some of us don't even see it. Some of us are still blind to it, even though it's right in our face. And hey, I saw a movie. And even last week in the intro, it says, what's the best way to hide something? Right in our face.
In
front of you. Right. Wide in the open.
Right.
Isn't that true of satanic? Satanism is on a roll. Some call it humanism. That's just a euphemism for satanic.
Well, anything against God.
Yes.
Okay. But what gets me is when the top rated show on Netflix
is Lucifer.
It's called Lucifer.
Yeah.
And it's about the devil.
It's here.
It is.
Warfare is here. We have to be alert to it, folks, especially us Christian believers in Jesus Christ. We have to. We've got to see it for what it is. You know, Jack was telling a story a few shows back about him years ago at the mall.
Oh, yeah.
About the Bible. And this guy, what security guard was it?
Yeah, two security guards.
Yeah. It says, I'm sorry, but you can't read this here.
Right. Yeah, I was sitting on a couch in the main hallway at a mall and here in Fresno. And they came up and they said, I'm sorry, you can't read that here. And I said, what? Excuse me? They said, yeah, you can't read that offensive material here. And I told the story then, I won't tell it again, but that opened my eyes. You know, before then, guys, I got to be honest with you, I was kind of, you know, laid back about everything, and I'm doing my own thing. As long as my thing doesn't bother anybody else, then they shouldn't be upset with me for doing it. You know, live and let live.
You know what opened my eyes was 9/11, and I believe the narrative story, the first of it, I believed it for a while. But to me, something wasn't adding up, and I had to dig deeper. Something just didn't sit right with me, with the whole thing. Like, I don't know, something's not right. So, we were all like, yeah, let's go to war with these guys and get them. And I was involved with that. I wanted to go get them right away, you know. But something, like, maybe it was the fact that we found out who it was so quickly. I don't know, but something wasn't sitting well with me. And then when I dug deeper, it's turned out to be an inside job. Now, you could believe that or not, but there's so much evidence out there about 9/11 that it's inside job. I mean, just look at the building number 7 alone. I mean, how it collapsed like a – I mean, these buildings should not be collapsing like that. So, I mean, Jack, to me, that was an eye-opener for me. And then I just dug deeper into all these other conspiracies. Some of them true, some of them not so true, but it opened my eyes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, the guys, I gotta bring up something, and that is that, you know, when you see something, and you, even though other people don't agree with you, you can't just ignore it, okay? In Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again. Wow. So this is Jesus telling somebody that somebody's praying, that he knows who's praying to him right now.
Who?
This is Jesus telling them that Saul of Tarsus, to the house of Judas, when you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now.
Oh.
Okay. And it says, I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again.
Wow.
So Ananias, God, he was praying to God. God, Jesus knew it on the spot. And he's now sending them to him and to lay hands on him so that, and he will see. This is an interactive action. This is actually happening all at once. So in other words, if God's showing you something or telling you something, that doesn't mean that it's just in your head.
Right, right.
Okay. Right now, Ananias, he's seeing a vision that God, that Jesus put in his head while he's praying to Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus knows he's praying to him at this moment.
Wow.
And Jesus puts a vision in his mind at this moment in a different location. They're not together.
Right.
And he says, when you go over there, tell him, ask for Saul of Tarsus, because I put a vision in his head that Ananias is going to come and lay hands on him, and he's going to be, and he's blind, but he'll be able to see again.
Wow.
This is powerful. This means that when God's showing you something or telling you something, you may not understand that it's factual and true and now, but it may be now.
You know, the CIA has a word for that, though, now. Do you know what it is?
Artificial intelligence, no.
Well, no. AI? But no, it's remote viewing.
Remote
where, viewing. Where, you know, of course, it's satanic powers. I won't say that. But what it is let's say you're in the living room or a different room, and I'm out here in the studio, and I can't hear you. But with my mind, I could see what you're doing and I could hear what you're saying. That's, they call that remote viewing. But this, what you're reading here, was way out there. It wasn't even in the same building.
No.
So this is, Satan can't do that.
No.
Okay. Now, what that was, or excuse me, what remote viewing would be is just basically one evil spirit talking to the other evil spirit. And by that, I mean fallen angels or demons. Mm-hmm. Okay, so going back and forth, telling, or maybe there's multiple of them, okay, telling them what, or showing them, okay, this is what you're, what the guy's doing in the other room. That's all that is. But what Jesus was doing was so powerful. Jesus could do it.
No, and he knew that he was being prayed to at that moment.
Right.
That's huge.
Yes.
Okay. It says that he hears our prayers immediately.
Amen. Okay, let's see what we got going here. The problem is I got to do this computer thing. Hang on, brother. I'm trying to get you up. Okay. All righty. Okay, do we have our guest on the line?
Hey.
All right. Okay, brother. Yes. I am so happy you're on the line here. We got you. Satan has been trying to distract us the whole time.
I've been listening while I'm trying to start like a new Skype account and doing everything. Can you hear me? I gotta plug in this mic. Hold on.
I can hear you fine. Before I say your name, I'm going to introduce you, brother. Okay, but go ahead and get set up, and I'm going to go ahead and introduce you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those who may not know his voice just yet, our first guest, you're not going to be our only guest today. Our guest has spent the last 20 years exploring the frontiers of all things spiritually and physically on the fringe, from grappling with the ancient forces of Japan, China, and Nepal, to delving into the modern info war and mystic Christian movement. This person has more recently begun to use the internet as a mission field to help equip the next generation of spiritual warriors to face the epic prophetic challenges ahead. Having clocked thousands of hours sharing his journey and fellowshipping with many circles, he is now engaged with a number of other broadcasters on the Fringe Radio Network, including ours, by the way. On his show, Spirit Wars, he is undertaking a bridging of multiple dimensions, seeing God touch lives and help to mold Jedi-esque, Doctor Strange-like undercover Time Lords of Space City, New Jerusalem, in order to accomplish a great deal of missions, which the Holy Spirit personally engineers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce to you the host of the number one show on the Fringe Radio Network, Spirit Wars. Here he is, the always smiling Michael Basham. Michael, it is wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, my
Thank you,
goodness.
Everyone. Thank you. Oh, you can sit down. Stop applauding. I'm here.
Can you hear me,
guys? Yeah, I can hear you just fine, brother.
Did you forget doctor? You know, yeah, they always say, Dr. So-and-so, you know, when they do this.
I think Jack is just a little jealous that I don't introduce him like that anymore.
I'm sitting here listening to this introduction. I'm like, wow. So Dr. Phil's coming in?
Dr. Phil, my goodness, no. Michael Basham is much more popular than Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah. He keeps calling me. He really wants to come on Spirit Wars. I'm like, Dr. Phil, sorry. No, not this month. Not this year.
No.
Great to be with you guys.
Really
great to talk to you.
It's great to have you, Michael.
Yeah, we're leaving them in the dust. You know, French movement is so beyond what people watch on TV like that. You know, I'm just glad PewDiePie makes fun of him a lot. Dr. Phil.
PewDiePie? I don't know that show.
You know who PewDiePie is, dude?
No.
He's some YouTuber. That tells you how relevant you are, Tim.
Thank you.
Don't worry yourself.
I mean, he's kind of a dork like I am. Like, I mean, I wrote that intro to give you this.
That's funny.
That really gets me in the mode. That's what we're going to talk about today.
That's pretty awesome. You're really good at patting your own back and at patting your own ego. I'm thoroughly impressed.
If you don't do it, who else is going to do it, right?
Well, I guess. But all I know is if you're good at it for yourself, I really need a letter of recommendation. Do you think you might be able to do one of those for me? I would love it.
Sure. I just need to hear your whole life story, and I'll write you like a super esoteric, like out there spiritual.
That would be great. So we'll start right now. I was born September. No, I'm kidding.
Michael. So, okay. I'm so happy that you're on here. I actually have never heard your testimony, believe it or not. Now, I've heard bits and pieces here and there from Johnny McMahon, and he says it's a great one, but I have not heard it yet. So I don't know if I got to go way back to your shows to hear it. But tonight, I would love for you to tell your testimony.
Sure. I'll just talk all about myself for 2 hours. So you guys can go and just sit on the couch and take a nap. And
just kind of talk for Jack,
endlessly. I've interviewed people like that. Like you get them on your show, and then they're just like, okay, you have like one moment of one comment, and then they just talk for like 3 hours. And I've literally, don't tell this to anybody. I hope we're not live right now.
No, we are live. Why would we be live?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, why would we be live on a show? I had some guest that talked forever, and I literally had to go to the bathroom so bad, but I didn't want to interrupt them. So I put it on loudspeaker, muted myself, ran to the bathroom, came back. They didn't even know I was gone for that 3 minutes.
That is awesome. That is great. Yeah.
So you can literally do that as I talk, because I came from a foundational Christian background. I don't have this marvelous, like, I came to Jesus moment, except when I came to a crisis and I found out, wow, God is real. Okay, better follow him. But I was raised, you know, on the heels of the shepherding movement, which, say what you will, you know, say what you will about that, that it was culty. People lost their faith in it. Have you guys heard of the discipleship shepherding movement, Derek Prince?
No, oh,
anybody
I
heard
have
of Derek
not.
Prince and Don Bass? Okay, so this happened like in the 70s to early 80s. I was born in 83. And these guys, they really almost took over America. They had the tape cassette technology of the Walkman. It was the latest thing. And because of that, they could share their sermons, and people would share through the New Wine magazine, New Wine Tape of the Month. You would have Don Basham, Derek Prince, Ern Baxter, these guys that literally banded together, and they shepherded each other because of a guy that had another well-known minister. These people all had their ministries. My grandfather and four other gentlemen had very established, very high-tech spiritual ministries rolling. But one guy was caught having sex with little boys, but he had a healing ministry at the same time, and people were getting healed. Yeah. So they were like, okay, we can never let this happen. So we all have healing ministries. We're all preaching this stuff. Why don't we set up a kind of a checks and balances system so that we have like a buddy system where one famous minister, preacher, writer, pastor looks over another famous minister, preacher, pastor so that this never happens again? And they became the Fort Lauderdale Five, because they met in Fort Lauderdale in like some hotel. They had this prayer together, and they're like, okay, we will covenant together to never let any of us fall into sin. And, you know, it was an experimental thing, but it got really big. And through the Walkman, through the tape cassette, the covenant movement, the discipleship movement went everywhere. And then it died. Like, literally, like, all the big churches hated them because it was so popular. It almost took over America. And literally, my grandfather goes on 700 Club to just go on a show to promote his new book or whatever. And they try to shoot him down. They're like, oh, you guys are a part of this big cult, and, you know, people got hurt in it, and whatever, whatever. And my grandfather's like the super gentlemanly Texan from Wichita Falls, Texas, and he's just like, well, and you can listen to him, Don Basham, on YouTube. I posted all of his sermons. Wow. We're going to try to start a new website for him. And you know, he died at age 63 after years of depression, and it was a very difficult death. As that movement died, Derek Prince Ministries is run by my uncle, still, and he also passed away. I think there's only one of them left. But we're like, my family came from that. You know, I was raised on the ashes of what these men fought for and died for. And it was the fringe of those times, because they were exploring new things. They were exploring like deliverance and Holy Spirit baptism and a lot of things that we kind of take for granted today.
Yeah.
Like they were really fighting for it. So it's, you know, I grew up with like, okay, your grandfather was like an Obi-Wan. He looked like Obi-Wan, by the way. And
yes!
He died. Yeah. And I was like, well, I just met Jesus. Some crises of my life. I want to be a Jedi like my grandfather. And
I was really,
you know, totally, you know, oblivious to what actually happens when you do that. And I was like happy-go-lucky, you know, I'm going to Japan, learn Japanese, exchange student. But I was like, I'm going to win Asia for Jesus. And
how'd that work out for you?
Man, it was, you know, 15 years later, I've gone through the same stuff. I met missionaries that were similar, that had the same perspective. I was in a cult for a few years, the Children of God. And I'm writing a book about that, the whole testimony. Like, I mean, I believe Jesus led me through that experience to learn what my father went through, what my grandfather went through. Children of God, Netflix documentary, Christian cult, really fun. Weird.
Really? Can you talk about that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do all the time.
This is the thing.
Go ahead.
Bringing you through the valley, you know, I look back at Michael. I look back at my history, you know, myself. And after I accepted Christ, I walked into a church, and I didn't know anything about Christianity. And the first person I basically ran into a wall. You know, I ran into a deacon or elder or whatever he was at the church, and he basically, what are you doing here? You're just here to pick up one of our young innocent girls. Get out of here. And that was my introduction. I said, okay, Lord, I tried, you know. But, you know, sometimes I think God, I think, you know, there's an old saying that if you pray for patience, is God going to make you patient, or is he going to give you situations where you can learn to be patient, you know? So you have to watch what you pray for. And I think that some of the things that I went through in my childhood, in my life, I went through them to make me the person I am today, to serve God in the way he wants me to serve now, you know, as you.
Yeah. I mean, once you taste the blood, like, you never want to stop, no matter what happens. And your testimony is amazing, brother. And I'm so proud to get to come on your show. I just feel like little me is just coming on the Let's Get Jacked Up show. I hope I can do an interview with each of you. I can just like put you in the chair.
Okay.
No, hot spot.
Yeah,
that makes me nervous.
Oh, come
on. I like being in the trio, man. I like being able to, you know, when I'm accountable to my own words and actions. Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
But Michael, you know, the whole accountability between brothers is a big thing now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, between Christians is having accountability one to another is being taught in churches all over the world. You know, and to think that your grandfather was one of the pioneers of that movement that is branched into so many different religions, you know, is amazing.
Well, Steve Quayle, you guys know of Steve Quayle?
I do, yes.
Well, he was a part of that movement. A lot of people went through that movement and are very honoring of them. And I want to take those quotes out where Steve Quayle heard of that I was helping to post some of those sermons, and he was like,
Michael, I want to let you know that I know Dark Prince and your grandfather, and you know what people say about that movement. They didn't know these were men of God. You know, he was a lot of the. I've listened to like millions of hours of everything about that. Anyway, I really think like we need to go back to our foundations, and where this movement of fringe Christianity is coming from is actually a lot of it is taken from previous movements where the Holy Spirit was working through communities of people, and now we're on this interesting, you know, this experiment of the fringe Christian movement with the Fringe Radio Network, which we're making community. We have a website, fringecom.com, where you can go and you can meet other listeners and get on the Discord and the different chats. And
is that new?
We all don't agree, even I would say 80% with our doctrine. I mean, do you guys all agree about doctrine, or
no?
Or do you guys have like Duke fights?
We differ with each other a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bobby's only agreed with me twice since 2013. So I would say that we have different doctrines. Yeah. You know, and Tim just looks at me. Nobody can see him, but sometimes he looks and he just shakes his head. No. You know. No. You know.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the studio live transmissions. We all need to get webcams and have like a live video someday. Oh, that would be so fun.
You'll be surprised on how much we in the works that actually is. We're trying really hard to get some live video. It will require me to wax, but I don't know if I'm ready for that part yet, but
I'm not sure where you're going with that.
And I got to
look pretty for the people. Okay. That's all.
Well, you know, and then not only that, but I have to quit wearing spandex, you know.
It's that unitard, you know. If you would just pack it away for once.
Oh, gosh, no.
It's like a giant hug.
Yeah.
So beautiful. that's what really makes this. That's where, I mean, jumping ahead, way ahead, like we're making plans to kind of unite the different warriors of the faith that we're meeting. And I think we're all going to have to start wearing spandex because there's so many superheroes of the faith. There's so many people.
And hey, I was on
everybody
website.
Has their own.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You use the internet? Use your own website?
I know. Okay. You know what? Here's the thing. Everyone that's listening, you're going to have to apologize because we're funneling, as I'm sure you've listened to these web shows, the broadcast before, but
there's a delay.
There is a huge delay. So we're going to talk over ourselves, and we're actually trying to fix that by wiring things differently so we don't have to go through this, through that, through this kind of a thing. So please be patient with us. But going back to the root, the important part of this conversation, I actually have always dreamed of wearing spandex, but I've never had a reason. So if I can find like a good Spider-Man spandex or – I mean even if I had to do like the unicorn tutu, I'd be willing.
Oh, wow.
I'm just throwing it out there, Tim.
What I want to know, and when I interview you all, I want to know what is your superpower. And yes, there's a delay because I'm in Hawaii, so I'm sorry the delay might be a little –
Wow, so you're actually – your voice is flying over the ocean and
hours,
it's still getting us – yeah, that's pretty awesome. You're like in the future. No, you're in the past, right? You're in the past. Because what
I
time
used
is it
to
for
be in
right
the
now?
Future. I'm getting old, so now I'm in the past. I'm stuck in that.
You know, Michael, you just said something. You said you're getting old. You know, you just said that you were what, born in 83. Well, my high school graduation was 78. So I feel really old after you said that.
It's true. You are old. In fact,
but you're looking good, Jack.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, I'm all leathery.
Anyway, so going back to your Michael, going back to your testimony.
Yes.
Tim is. I'm a horrible listener. I will listen to radio only kind of as background noise. I don't mind getting on. I never listen to our own shows. So I am guilty of not really ever listening to your show. But Tim listens to you faithfully. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would think that you guys were like, you know, brothers from another mother or something, because he really does thoroughly enjoy your show.
Yeah, man, you had a great show on. I was listening to it this morning. You were interviewed an SRA woman, and I can't think of her name right now. Holly. Yeah, you know.
Baglio.
Thank you. Yeah, and that was a great show.
Holly Baglio. Yeah. Thank you for listening to that.
Yeah, that was great.
So anyways,
I mean, she's going to go, you know, you might think that she's crazy, but she's going to go work with Russ Dizdar.
Yeah, I love that guy, man. He's got some brilliant stuff.
Here. So thank you for listening. I appreciate, sometimes I just can't believe anybody listens to some of these broadcasts.
Well, let's get back to where you were at in your story.
Okay, well, in anybody's story, you kind of, when you look back, you sort of look at things through the sieve, hopefully, of the Holy Spirit, jumping from time to time. So I've been in a lot of countries. In fact, while I was trying to get my Skype to work to call you guys, I accidentally bought a free 700 minutes to call anybody on Skype in India. So now I have the ability to call. And I actually have been to India. I've been to India before, so maybe I'll use that.
That's great. And
I'm using my computer to call you on Skype with the account here. Yeah.
And you know, and that's the thing that's so crazy about this technology is, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't have done this kind of stuff. 20 years ago, oh my gosh. I mean, it was completely unheard of, you know? And it's amazing how quickly everything evolves. I mean, pretty soon we're going to be able to just, you know, it'll be like Star Trek, you know, just sit in your living room and a screen will pop up and we'll all be talking to each other face to face to face to face to face. You know, it's just, it's an amazing, it's amazing how fast technology works. Amen, my friend. Amen. In fact, you know, I lead the worship at my church. I'm going to try to encourage all of my my congregation to allow me to practice my spandex wearing while up on stage.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I won't lie to you. A lot of the people we're working with right now, the Kingdom Talks crew, we always joke about this because everybody has their own sort of angle of the Holy Spirit that they operate in, and it's like a superpower.
Right.
And it's not like, oh, you need to follow me. It's more like, yeah, you can follow me, but I'll follow you, and wow, what's your superpower? And hey, let's go find more superheroes. And, you know, you might be an older superhero and you go like Batman in, Justice League. And you're like, I need to ask you a question. And the Flash is like, I'll join you. Can I keep this?
Yeah, right.
I need friends.
That's funny.
You know?
You know,
that's
and,
what
but
it's like. We're Spider-Man.
And you know? it's so awesome that, because, you know, I just kind of had a revelation in my mind right now that we're not asking people to follow us, but as long as we are encouraged to listen to other people and to digest what they've gone through and to process how the Holy Spirit has manifested themselves in their life experience, I mean, how great is that?
Yeah.
Because we're no longer forcing anybody to do anything except to let us listen, and that's it.
Exactly, and that's the key thing, is that we're looking for more disciples. Like, the true Jedi Master is someone that's always looking for more Jedi, not trying to be the ultimate Jedi Master. That's a Sith Lord. You know, the Sith Lord wants to be the ultimate Sith, and it's really a self-destructive spirit that we're dealing with. And believe me, most of the time I am on the phone with people off air and I'm having conversations that are life or death about their faith, about, you know, what God is going to do, and dealing with things that are really borderline criminal or crossing the border criminal, which is where, unfortunately, my life went last year. When I was in Taiwan for about 10 years, I figured, well, God wants me here. I'm learning Chinese. I've learned Chinese pretty good. I can speak it pretty darn good, and I can speak Japanese. So I figured God wants me here. And then the cult unraveled, and it already kind of disassembled, but then it really unraveled, and people became very criminal. And unfortunately, a lot of the members of the Children of God kind of just went along with the crime. The house that I was in, we were in a $1 million home that was pretty much donated to us, and we had it set up almost as a refugee base for women and children trying to get away from abusive people in the Children of God, whose names I've mentioned many times. But these people, I'm telling you, there are people that will festoon themselves as sort of prophetic healers or missionaries, and then in the background they'll have all kinds of abuse going on. So, and it was almost like I was living in the days of my grandfather to see all this stuff.
Let me ask you this then. When you were in the mists of this cult, did you recognize it as a cult, or was it not until – because, you know, there are people who, you know, they don't see it as a cult until they're out. You know, like like a lot of people who are in the Scientology thing, they don't necessarily believe that it's a cult. They just think that it's their religion. It's not until their, you know, their eyes are opened and then they realize, wow, I'm literally being led astray, you know, into the fire. So when you were in – while you were in it, did you recognize it as a cult? Did you say that it was a cult at the time?
I would say that when I was entering it, I already knew it was a cult. I was interested in what they had. Their doctrine actually is very fundamental evangelical. So I wished it was almost just totally heretical so that I could just leave them alone. Much like, okay, Mormons, okay, scratch. Okay, Scientology, scratch. Well, the Children of God are a unique kind of an event in time space, because they did carry an extremely foundational biblical faith that included a lot of the things that we're talking about on the fringe, and a little bit of the mystic, and a little bit about the a lot of the political. So a lot of what you see in the movements of Trump and InfoWars, in fact, they were the ones that introduced me to InfoWars. So that's why I'm not like 100% like saying like, oh my gosh, this is such an evil satanic cult, because it wasn't. It wasn't an Aleister Crowley business of shenanigans, Satan. It wasn't anything like that.
Gotcha.
But people's sins creep up over the years, especially pedophilia. And unfortunately, those sins were never dealt with.
You know, and
so there were pedophiles lurking around.
You know, that's such an unfortunate reality for that too, because – you know, pedophilia is such a disgusting thing, and it's something that people will hook onto, and that's just what it becomes. You know, it's – I mean, listen, I don't know if you've got this going on in your neck of the woods, but I was listening to the radio today, and there was a commercial basically saying, have you been molested by a priest?
Huh.
And it was because the government is about to issue money.
What?
Yeah. It was a legitimate commercial from a lawyer – based out of Los Angeles, who is basically telling people, if you've been molested by the diocese or whatever, that you contact us and we'll fight for you, because there is some monies that will be issued. I don't know if it was government or by the Catholic Church itself. I don't know, but that they would be financially compensated for it.
Well, what do you think about that? Don't you think that's a good thing, or do you think that's something that could be abused?
Yeah,
like,
no, absolutely. The first time I heard it, I thought for sure that's abuse. I mean, think about it. You look at this whole Kavanaugh hearing, right? What happened there? We had, you know, a woman claiming that he was raping women every weekend for leisure, you know, and it turned out to be completely bogus. But it was because there was, I'm sure, some sort of sleazy, backhanded guarantee of money in exchange for this testimony. And that's the human nature of it all, you know. And that, going back to the idea of religion and how religion is impacted by those things, you know, I have a friend, a really good friend of mine, who is agnostic, doesn't really have anything. He just knows that he does not believe in Christ, or doesn't recognize Christ as the Messiah and all those things. And he says, dude, he's like, you're just like those Westboro guys. I was like, no, I'm not. He's like, well, but they're a Baptist church, aren't they? I was like, well, they claim to be all kinds of things, but that just because they claim to be those things doesn't mean that that's a representation of who I am and what my beliefs are. But the secular world only sees the surface level, and the surface, especially on a lot of those cult-like or very vulgar type followings, they translate into this reality for those non-believers that's the evil of the Christian faith. And I think that's another reason why we're labeled as haters. When, let's be real, I mean, God, we're called to come as you are, right? Come as you are, but not to stay as you came. For some reason, it's skewed and it's turned into these things. Well, where you're going to be forced to change, and you're going to be forced into this, and you know, oh, I can't have my sexual depravity anymore. I can't listen to my music anymore. And it's like, no, you'll actually choose not to do those. The Holy Spirit will convict you enough where you will want to not do those things anymore. Sorry, I was
sorry. I muted myself. Exactly, and I guess that's a good point to recognize. No. It's a key part of things because honestly, before I was even born, there was this going on. Like most of us, we're like, "What? Sex with kids? Like who even goes there? That's horrible. Right. Why would you even?" But there is this problem, and we need to fight. Now that we're all having families, and you know, my wife is 5 months pregnant, and my daughter is still being held captive by these people in Taiwan. So, but rather than continuing another year to fight them in court, and I'm jumping way ahead here in the story, but basically the end game was these people deteriorated to the point where in kind of their insane rage and their dissolution of faith, like just becoming the very thing that we all became missionaries to fight against, they sued me. Daughter's grandmother literally crept into my house while I was across the street teaching English. She just crept in, grabbed my daughter. There were a bunch of people there, babies, a lot of her aunts, uncles, friends, a lot of people that have taken care of her. So They didn't realize what she was doing, but she decided that she was going to just nab her, take her away, and sue me. Which she already had a whole giant lawsuit and all these lawyers lined up in Taiwan, in Chinese. So I've only like studied Chinese for 5 years and, you know, I've been there for a while. I lived in China. So now I get to actually use my Chinese for something. So I'm going there, you know, to court to be like, what the heck? You know, this freaking grandma loses her mind. And, my ex-wife at the time was in the States. She wasn't around, so that's where, you know, the grandmother of my daughter sort of lost it. She was also in the cult before and just became very afraid. She just became unraveled, and because of the nature of the people on the island of Taiwan, the whole cult basically just decided that I was bad. That, you know, Michael, you're helping people to get out of our group, and you're standing with women and children and letting them stay in your giant mansion. Cause I had a few other friends that were kind of going along, but they didn't want to actually testify for me in court, but they were like, yeah, we're running this mansion together. You know, let the girls stay here. Let them kind of get away from the abusive husband that bought a Harley and literally neglected and was just screaming at them all the time. We won't actually testify, but we'll kind of help you. So I had a few sort of friends. And I want to credit, you know, their sort of friendship during that time. But in the end, the evil was so terrible, and the abuse and the kidnapping and the confusion and all of it was so much. Most people in that happy group, they were just like, we can't take this. We can't face this level of abuse happening from people that, you know, we thought were good. So sorry. We have to go to Christmas practice now. We're having a Christmas show. And I'm like, you know what? This is my awakening. I'm realizing what's happened before in this group, in the Children of God, the Family International, and groups like the Catholic Church, where you have people that are very well-meaning who really are serving God, actually. I mean, I'm going to go on a show tomorrow with William Ramsey, and we're going to talk about G.K. Chesterton, a Catholic kind of very famous writer, that the Catholics use to cut. They will say, oh, we're all about G.K. Chesterton, but then they'll neglect like the Pope being basically the false prophet and all these pedophiles in every church. So you know, that was what I was like, you know what? I am never seeing any of you guys again. Now I know how this works, you know, that evil creeps in and weak people go along with it. Well, that's not what I'm going to do.
Right. No, and that's how I end up getting a bad rep in a lot of things.
Yes, you do.
Because I don't go along. If I say, if it's bad, I just call it for what it is. I'm an open book. I can tell people what I've done wrong and what I'm willing to do wrong. And Michael, you're a lot stronger Christian than I am, because I tell you what, I've made a commitment to every one of my kids and my grandkids, and I told them if anybody ever takes you and kidnaps you or you go to prison, I told my sons this. I said, if you go to prison, I've been there. You go to prison, I know how to handle myself in there, and I know how to protect you. I will go bust a window out of a bank. If you go to federal time, I'll bust a window out of a bank and get federal time. So I'm there with you. If somebody kidnaps you, I will hunt them down, and their entire family will be killed. I am not mincing. I'm not a nice guy. And if you go
– Well, brother, you're better – You know what? You're a better man than I am, too, because honestly, I had that offer to me. People were like, what? Some stupid grandmother that thinks that this your beautiful daughter is her little puppy? Because she honestly, like, for her, to her credit, she did help us take care of her when we were in school and whatnot. She was her babysitter. So my daughter didn't know any better. She's only six. Like, she doesn't know what's going on.
Grandma's coming to go for a ride.
Right.
Yeah, she's like, oh, Kaya, we're going for a ride. My daughter's name's Kaya. Her name means echo in Estonian, which I'm praying that, you know, in the end, we will win her back. But I'm not willing to do what they did, which was utilize a faulty court system in Taiwan and perform kind of mafia tactics. I had mafia friends because, you know, I meet a lot of people. I'm kind of an outgoing guy. And I had a friend who was like, they did that to you? Dude. One phone call. All it takes is one phone call. You tell me, because some people owe me, I will get your daughter back. We're going to send a van to the house. We will get the daughter for you. You just call me. Here's my number. Anytime. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's
all you're going to have to do is call me one time. And this is Taiwan. Like, there is no law here. Police suck. You know, I even met high-level investigators, and they told me in Taiwan, the government can't really help you when this happens. There not too many people go to this level of crime. So they don't really know how to handle it. So they're like, you need to, you know, do this, this, and this, which I did for a year. In the end, I had a little bit of custody of her, but it wasn't enough. And by then she was so brainwashed by grandmother. And meanwhile, I'm trying to protect these people trying to get out of the cult to get them back to Norway. They're being hunted down. They're still being chased by fake missionary people there and sued again. So pray for that. I just got off the phone yesterday with more reports, and it's like, I don't have time to deal with scum like this from the gutter. You know, we're literally trying to build the future, and the enemy is fighting. And then I look on the news and I realize, wait, hold on. Trump is getting sued. Alex Jones is getting sued. Everybody who decides to fight these kind of demons gets sued. So it's like it's a modern day persecution where it doesn't come from where you're expecting. It's not necessarily yet the Antichrist army that we were told that would arise, which I still believe is arising. You know, you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast.
Yeah,
but
well, you know,
you to the court.
You said something right now that's very, very biblical, and that is that Jesus said, "Watch what you say, because they'll take you and they'll bring you before the courts, and they'll put you in prisons." And this is it's almost like a prophecy being fulfilled. Because that's what's happening is they're destroying good people in legal. Oh, for instance, I was a big fan of Bill Cosby. Okay.
Bill Cosby.
Right. And I was a big fan of Bill Cosby. And I remember him telling Eddie Murphy and a couple other guys hey, man, you know, you got you're representing
Jello
you're representing the things you shouldn't be representing. You know, you need to be more mature, more polite to women, things like that. And so what's happening in these times is people that had reputations of being upright, upstanding in their community. And by the way, Bill Cosby is a Jehovah's Witness. And I know quite a few Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're very strong in their way. But here's the deal. They took Bill Cosby out for something he did 30 years ago. Hmm. But yet Hillary Clinton, she can do something last year, and it's like old news. Well, what are you bringing that up for? That's ancient history, okay? But Bill Cosby and these other good, upstanding people that are in the that are famous, they're being taken out one by one for things that they did 30 years ago. There's no statute of limitations on us. There's no acceptance. You know, California. One of the biggest things that we touted here in California my whole life was that it was considered the second chance state. Mm. That everybody in California knew that if you messed up, California's where you want to be, because it allowed you to start over. Okay, it allowed you to get a fresh start. And so what you had a criminal life as a child, you know, that doesn't have to reflect into your mature years. Mm. And what's happening is they're using things that happened way back when to take these people out. Okay. And those, I kind of got a feeling that was practice for us.
Did I lose you?
There you go. There you are.
No, he was finished. He just looked over at us like, and there you go. And so we were just waiting to see if you were going to respond.
That was a very thoughtful silence.
Well, you know, what do they say? That's the silence causes emphasis. Mm-hmm. You know.
No, I mean, and I don't want to taint the whole show with like such an air of gravity, because honestly, where the Holy Spirit is, there's so much joy. And I have to tell you, like, among the real Christians that God has put in my life, there is so much humor and ridiculous amounts of joy.
Yes.
I mean, you should see my wife, who really is the reason that I'm still sane now. We sometimes just don't even make sense, like logically, the way that we talk, because that's just the way we are. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful woman who is actually messaging me about whether we want turkey or chicken or fish for dinner. She's just that kind of lady. And I'm sure your wives are all awesome and have fed you well before this broadcast. I hope none of you guys are hungry, and if you are, you should get something to eat, because talk for a long time, tell you a million miracles, a billion miles of miracles.
That's awesome. Well, you know,
group of family that I was in. Go ahead. And I'll continue my point.
You are our guest, and I have an inability of shutting my mouth to let you talk. So by all means, go ahead.
You should be on a podcast.
That's funny.
I was just going to say that there are when you step out by faith to follow God by faith, He does miracles for you. And a lot of the people that I met that were in the group, the cult that I was in, they were very sincere missionaries, and they encountered God in beautiful ways. So it wasn't like everybody was a pedophile that's going to sue you for whatever. That happened towards the end. I know that there were pedophiles running around, but that's just sort of what happens. I mean, we need to watch out for this network as it grows. We have now 83 shows on the Fringe Radio Network. People want to meet each other. People want to see, you know, there's a lot of lonely people that listen, and there are people that just want community and friends, and there's singles, and we want to eventually make like a dating app, some sort of thing like that. And again, Fringe Radio, fringecom.com, easy to remember, is the chat room for this. Fringecom.com. And just the nature of the content, like if you're a listener to podcasts, like if you find out about the Nephilim and
sort of interesting Bible studies, Iron Show, Let's Get Jacked Up style, iron sharpening iron, and then you learn about L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle and InfoWars and all these different things. And I'm going to do this, guys. You can stop me if you don't think it's a good idea, but I think we should post some of Alex Jones' broadcasts onto the network and see what happens. Let's see if they just shut the whole thing down. I don't think they will be able to.
I think that would be phenomenal.
Apparently,
actually,
he's banned everywhere, but let's see what happens. Well, he says you can.
Haven't you been trying to get him, the Fringe has been trying to get him for a long time?
We already pretty much have authorization based on his mouth to just go ahead and share anything that they do. The problem is the media will immediately attack you. So what do you think? Should we do it?
Should we test it out?
Don't live in fear, brother. Don't live in fear.
Not only that, but it'll get more people to the Fringe Network, won't it? You know?
Well, you know, Michael, sure. I've been shut down. Facebook has shut me down. We did a show a few weeks ago
on
abortion.
At least three times that I
can remember. Four times.
Oh, my gosh.
And really? we did a show on abortion a few weeks ago, and I was just sending notes to these guys about what we should talk about.
On Messenger,
instant messenger. And they were erasing my as I typed the words, they would just erase right in front of my face, and I'd retype them, and they'd erase again, and they were just over and over and over, nine times.
Are you
and
serious?
Finally, I just said, you know what? Forget this. I went totally out of it. I shut it down, and I come back later on, and I rewrote it in using different terminology and stuff, and I sent my message. But when I went to post our show about abortion on Facebook groups and things like that people requested, and send it to friends who asked me to send it to them, they shut me down for suspicious activity on my account.
Wow.
Unbelievable, except it is happening. And here's the thing, Secure Team 10, who has been reporting about all the new UFO admittance of the Air Force and Navy, which is a very important story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. Canary Cry Radio, that's on the network. And Secure Team 10 is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, UFO reporting YouTube channel. Just got demonetized. And Owen Schroyer, who's from the InfoWars studio, great guy, called him and was like, look, you can either do this. You can either just this, because he was on Alex. He had an Alex Jones thing that they freaked out. They're like, you guess. Speak of Alex Jones in a positive way. Well, the Queen will not have anything of it. We shall immediately decapitate you. So you can either go along with the Empire, with Darth Vader and the British Empire of yesteryear. The Brits today, the British, they're awesome. They're leaving the EU. It's great. But in the in the American Revolution, it was like, how dare you join George Washington in his scoundrel band of thieves? Can you imagine what it's been like to live in those days? To like live in the American Revolution, like how scary that would have been with all this pressure. Like, we're going to demonetize you. We're going to demonetize your Smithy business or tea shipments or whatever. It was the
Smithy business.
Anybody who has a soul today knows that it's a badge of honor to get demonetized or deplatformed censored. If that means that if it was like maybe a decade ago, it would have been different. But now the bad guys are so bad that all the cool people are all meeting each other on these platforms. They're like, oh, yeah, baby, let's go for it. Let's like let's stand together. Let's formulate the new Congress. And by the way, we got the president for crying out loud. Who's going to be the next president? You know, the Democratic Party is pretty much gone. Like they've destroyed themselves with what they've done in the last few months.
Yeah. You know, but, I saw a really cool.
I was going to vote for AOE. Or whatever her name is.
Yeah, right.
The AOC, is that what you said?
Yeah, that one. She served me at McDonald's 2 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, so speaking of that lady,
That's loyalty right there.
Hey, you want to talk about how Sissy Lala our society has become? Locally, We have a 3A baseball team here in Fresno, California.
Triple A.
Did I, what did I say? 4A?
It is correct. 3A is right.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Triple A. Sorry. Dude. All right. Obviously, I'm really, you know, into soccer. So I'm kidding. So we've got this AAA yes. baseball team. And this AAA baseball team has won lots of series throughout the years. They've finished on top in the division that they're playing in. Anyway, over Memorial Day weekend, they played a video that wasn't properly vetted by the person who posted it, and there was it basically had Ronald Reagan doing some one of his mini speeches, and there was a series of pictures showing up. Well, as Ronald Reagan was talking about the enemies of our country, a picture of Miss Cortez or whatever her name is popped up.
Yes,
and it stirred all kinds of controversy. It Twitter got a hold of it, and it went viral, at least here locally, and people are just up in arms about it.
Good.
One of the major sponsors for this baseball league is Tecate Beer. They actually have it, and they spent like $3 million on this whole complete rejuvenation of this like bar area, and they have actually announced – it's actually not Tecate, but it's their parent company, the Dos Equis. They're pulling out. They're refusing to do service with this baseball company simply because of a slip-up by some intern, I'm sure, over some innocent memorial video that they just plucked off of YouTube.
People are so
And the thing is that they're not even like considering anything. They're willing to just go out there and shoot off the hip without all the facts, without knowing anything, or you know, just to save face because like you know, a half a dozen people might be insulted.
Yeah,
like
12 people.
I mean, you know what I mean? And it's so crazy that these people are so focused on the PC culture. I mean, it's gotten extreme, right? I mean, the Democrat Party, I saw this picture and it showed Democrats like a little sign that said center. And then it showed Democrats, you know, pointing to the left and they're being pushed. It's like, you know, it's like the actual donkey or whatever. And it's being pushed over the side by a caricature of Bernie Sanders and AOC or whatever her name is. And you know, all of these extreme left-leaning people, yeah. You know, and it, but so what you said is so true. The Democrat Party is dead. They're all just a bunch of leftist extremists. I mean, if you consider just the Green New Deal or whatever it is, I mean, let's be real. Talk about a bunch of malarkey. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, muted again. Yeah, and this is where like my vision pops. Like I think what we're doing with the network and there's other there's so many things that I can tell you guys. That's why I rant on my show most of the time because there's just too much information. But there's a new movement of Christians, and I know a lot of people hate Rick Joyner, and we were honored to interview him in October, but he's agreed to let us use his material, his rants at least, for the network, which we haven't really been faithful to upload recently. But just point being, like, we are reaching out to a new brand of Christians that are accessing God in kind of a very, I would say a very, what's the word, controversial way, and yes. just directly praying, receiving his spirit. And it's kind of a mixture of the charismatics and the Pentecostals, and yet it's a lot more technologically savvy. And that would be Gil Hodges' Kingdom Talks, just the whole echelon of Christians there that are – some of them – I mean, I don't know half the people that he interviews, but I know Gil. I know he's a faithful guy. His mother just passed away, so pray for him.
Okay.
But he's reached out to us, and he's gone really far to interview some of the big names in these movements that their info is so weird half the time that I don't even know what to do with it. But one of these people, Ian Clayton of the Mystic Christian Movement – and, you know, my grandfather, his mentor was kind of a mystic named Rufus Mosley, which if you type in Rufus Mosley, man, you're going to find some really sweet sermons of this guy that almost has like Tourette's syndrome with the word hallelujah. You know, he cuts himself off every 5 seconds and goes, hallelujah. And the gospel of the Lord, never, he never said you should ever just hallelujah. You, the more Jesus you have, the more Jesus you can give. Hallelujah. And if you want to give hell all the time, you just give hell all the time. You can have as much hell as you hallelujah. And the more heaven you want
to sound
give,
like the farting preacher. You get, you know. That's funny.
It's literally how he talks. Yeah. He's like, he can't help it. He just says hallelujah like every 5 seconds. And that's, and my grandfather, highly regarded him, said, you know, Rufus, one day we were all kind of making fun of him, me and these other Christians. We were like, come on, Rufus. And they're all having their hamburgers, and he was eating his, like, nuts and vegetables and honey. He was really – he was like a health nut before it was a thing. And they were like, come on, Rufus, prophesy for us. Give us a prophecy about the end of the world. And then suddenly he got really serious, and he was like, all right, I'll give you a prophecy. In the future, the people who are closest to the Spirit of Jesus are going to get better and better. And the people who are the furthest from the Spirit of the Jesus are going to get worse and worse. And they all kind of looked at each other like, whoa, that was real prophecy.
That's funny.
You know, and that's what's happening today. Yeah. But today's mystics, they're, some of them, you know, we can't really verify a lot of their prophecies and visions and whatnot. But I'm kind of an explorer. You know, this is where we do take the Star Trek thing pretty far. And we're going into realms that most Christians don't want to touch because they're afraid of, you know, heresy or whatever. But I will say this, the lead mystic, Ian Clayton, who I've been researching and following kind of, you know, one foot in, one foot out style. But I ran into him one day in Taiwan, just randomly in a hotel lobby.
Wow.
Which the Holy Spirit led me to this lobby. There, smack dab in the lobby, was Ian Clayton. You YouTube Ian Clayton, you'll find my videos about him. Just like, wow, this heavenly, accessing the heavenly court system prayer module kind of seems to work. I was the only guy talking about him. I think I have kind of a love-hate relationship with him, and he does with me too. But I really believe that there's something to this, and it's worth at least acknowledging as a thing. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but that's one of the projects that we're doing. It's kind of seeing like if we can, on one hand, there's the mystic, you know, there's a lot of Christian mystics out there. There's organization that needs to happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's the fringe Christians. There's people that are just like, we're just straight up Bible, nothing but the Bible. And Illuminati end time Antichrist stuff. It's an kind of mixed here on the network. Yes. but yeah, that's a part of my that was my salvation, because, you know, when my cult done gone died, I didn't have no more shepherds or friends, and that was one of the movements that kind of kept my faith rolling.
Well,
for a few
Bobby,
years
excuse me, Michael and Bobby and Tim are sitting here doing sign language.
We're talking, but via code.
But Michael, I got some great news, and that is that I went to the I had to go to get a little surgical procedure done, and while I was in there, the lady goes, one of the nurses, she goes, so what are you going to do today? And I go, I'm probably just going to go home. I go and relax. And she said, that's a good thing. She goes, I get off in a little while. She goes, and I'm going to do what I always do, go home and download 3 or 4 hours of podcasts and just listen to podcasts.
Wow.
And I said, really? I said, what podcast do you listen to? She goes, just about anything. She goes, I just am in love with podcasts. And I go, really? I go, well, you know, I had to be part of a podcast and a network of podcasters. And she goes, really? And I told her about The Fringe, and I told her about our show. And she goes, oh, my gosh. And
open her eyes.
I got a celebrity in here. She started calling another nurses over. And I go, no, I'm not a celebrity.
Okay.
I'm just part of a
so
show.
So that explains why I came in, and I was like, how am I going to fit in this space? Your head is so big.
Right. And anyway, so I just want to let you know, remember I said that I believe that podcasting is mainstream. We are the radio of today, and it's going to just do nothing but go bigger and bigger. Well, I was at work, and I work a lot with PG&E, and one of the guys at PG&E was telling me that he's single, and he goes home, and he was just he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to a bunch of guys, and they said, so what? They're talking about going out and drinking and stuff and what they're going to do that night. And they asked him, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to do the same thing I always do. He says, I'm going to go download probably 5 hours of podcasts, and I'm going to sit there and eat and play video games and listen to podcasts. And I go, is this what you always do? He says, I do it every night. It's my system. I just go home, I download podcasts, and I just listen. I go, what kind of podcast? He goes, just about anything. He goes, I like to hear people talking about things openly and intellectually and crazily all at once.
That sounds like The Fringe.
And as far as our show goes, he got pretty much all of it except the whole intellectual thing. I'm not so sure about
but
that.
Oh, boom. Yeah.
But anyway, he wasn't talking about our show.
Yeah.
But yeah. I introduced the fact that we had the show, and we picked up two listeners, like, boom. And I said, and if you like our show, I go, listen to our shows, and we advertise other shows on there. And so guess what? He told me, one of the guy at PG&E told me that he listened to the Iron Show the other day and to your show.
Wow.
And so the
no way,
yeah, we're becoming and so I'm saying we have to tell people on the radio, on our shows, we have to literally tell them you are on the cutting edge. You're listening to the radio of today, okay? And this is taking the world by storm. I have people friending me on Facebook from Nigeria and all over Africa and different countries. Overseas, because they can get us on their phones in Iran, Iraq. They can get us on their phones, and the government can't stop them from listening to us. And it's not considered religious. It's fringe.
Right.
They can get away with it. And so they're listening to us in countries where Christianity is actually outlawed. Okay. But they can get it on their phones. And if anybody asks him, oh, no, Dad, I'm listening to crazy guys on the Fringe Radio Network.
Yeah.
Well, this is really, and I was an underground missionary in China for a few years, and it was all like, we don't even say God bless you on the phone because of the algorithms and the AI spies. You just say, I'm thinking deep thoughts for you. And that's kind of what we're doing, is we're getting under the radar. We're not overtly a Christian network. A lot of the shows are government or comedy or just talking about, well, it looks like Bigfoot came to town the other day. And they're fun. Have you heard the new show?
It's fun intellectual talk, you know.
Scary. But then there's a lot of intellectual shows. There's investigative shows, which are one of the biggest shows, I would say. William Ramsey's audience is amazing, and there's Eschaton, really cool guy. There's Truth Seeker, and he constantly interviews New Age astrologers and psychics, but he's a Christian, and he's trying to reach out to their audience. And when you talk to him off air, he's a total Christian. He totally believes in the gospel. And people are always shooting at him because they're like, why did you talk to that psychic the other day? And he's like, well, I'm Truth Seeker, and I want to reach out to everybody because I believe everybody have faith, and they just don't know it yet. And if we can get in underground and reach out into their heart, maybe we could bring them into the fellowship of the fold. Yo.
Nice.
And that was a revelation, but he definitely reaches out to people everywhere. And this is what I want to do, too, with Spirit Wars. I have to have disclaimers in the beginning of the show, which I stopped doing, but I used to interview people that they were like, super Hebrew roots or maybe borderline Satanist or something. So I would have this intro of like, you're going into this very deep space journey and you need to have your armor set up. And oh my gosh, we have an alert, heresy xenomorph detected. We're going to open the portal for the deep space vacuum to get it out. Everybody, hopefully your gravity boots are on. get ready. We're going to deal with some major heavy stuff here. Mm. Get your, you know, your gospel ammunition locked and loaded. My show sometimes goes into those kind of realms.
You know,
sometimes.
And I think that's awesome because we, you know, that's the one thing we always, before we came onto the Fringe, we always told our listeners, hey, if you hear something that you think is not up on the up and up, you need to let us know. If it turns out that what we said was in fact something that wasn't legit, we'll make the correction because the last thing we want to do is lead someone astray. But it also helps to initiate that dialogue that, you know, maybe it could help somebody clarify something that they thought was wrong but actually wasn't, or, you know, whatever it might be.
All right.
And that's the way I look at it. I mean, all my cults are dead and all my, you know, my friends are – a lot of my friends are gone. Mm. You guys are it. You're my cult. You're my friends. And I look at it not as like let's make a cult where we control people and brainwash them, but as something where we set people free. We get people out of cults. Mm. We get under the radar so that people are literally playing video games and listening to this. That's right. A great way to listen to podcasts. Frankly, I'm usually driving or I'm at the gym or sometimes I'm at work and I have that one earphone, you know, and yeah. It's dark enough and the manager's watching and I'm listening to you guys or you know, 100 different shows, you know, sure. Leonard Olivares, his show, Getting Understanding podcast, and we're all amazing. Listening to InfoWars. I mean, InfoWars is always there. They're the top because guess what? They put out 9 hours of content every day and it's expertly produced. It's professional, and I don't look at them as a rival, but as a model. Absolutely. To really how to reach the most people. We should can't be talking to imagine. Terrestrial radio, getting your show on terrestrial radio. Have you talked to anybody that's got a radio station yet that might want to take Let's Get Jacked
Yes,
Up?
Yes, I used to work in one, and so that might be in the works in the future.
Yeah, we're also working on something else, Michael, and that is we played with a contest last week and with a couple callers and had – it was fun. We gave away some little prizes. But I was – you know, I was thinking about this whole thing and something dawned on me that that we could do much better. We could do much stronger. And I'm looking at having a contest where we're actually giving away money.
He wants to give away his house. That's what he wants to do.
No.
He's going to rent out his dog. He's going to rent out his car.
Anyway, I'm looking at – we're going to be announcing real soon that. But at the same time, I announced a fundraiser for a Pentecostal church that is actually going to take place at McDonald's here. And I ran into the lady, and we are looking to push churches locally. And what's happening is the people that are locally listening to us, their whole church will find out about us because we're going to be advertising the events from their church. And so there's some things in the works. The contest is going to be, you know, if you share us on Facebook, if it like my trailer that has our signs on it, billboards. If you see our billboard around Fresno, and you take a picture of it, and you've posted on your Facebook and share it with your friends and the people that you know, and you tag us. You'll go in. Your name will go into a contest and into a drawing, and every month we'll pull out. We'll do $50. And
wow!
And for your friends, it doesn't matter where you're at in the world, so that we can reach people all over the world, and they can partake in this contest too. If you go on my Facebook, or we're going to post it on our
jacked up
site. And if you go on there and take the picture of the billboard, the trailer, and you post it on your Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and you tag us and let us know, then doesn't matter where you're at in the world, you're going to go into the drawing for $25 a month. And at the end of a quarter, I'm going to put out $100 as a grand prize. And I'm thinking at the end of the year, like New Year's, of doing a $500 grand prize.
Whoa.
And so we're really getting aggressive with this. And we're going to be pushing it locally big time. And but it really blows my mind is that this came to me.
I didn't know the last part.
I didn't know half of this, actually.
This came to me. And because I was looking to promote us.
Wait, guys, are we live right now? You sure you want to tell all this?
Yeah, I was going to announce it, actually. And so, like I said, I'm an open book. We're looking for advertisers. We're looking for sponsors. We're looking for people that need advertising. I have mobile billboards. And I'm going, for those people that advertise on the mobile billboards, we're going to put ads on our show. And we're going to start out doing ministries first, and the ministries are going to be blessed by it.
Mm.
And it's all God's work.
Well, you know, and the one thing too that is amazing about all of this is that we're trying to pursue multiple media. We're not just going to rely on audio. We've actually locally here, there's a TV station that you can pay to do a class, and then it's the super local. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's still UHF or whatever. But the thing is that it allows us, once we take the course and whatever, if we become fluent enough in that video technology, we can actually then, for a small fee, broadcast live video out onto the networks, like out into the airspace. So you know, we're actively pursuing all of these ideas. The hardest part of it all is the time, because we're all just average Joes, just trying to, you know, make money to spend money and to provide for our families. And not only that, but making sure that we are proficient enough so we don't look like total buffoons when we actually do it, you know.
You guys never look like total buffoons. In fact, all of us, I was just talking to my brother Scott, who just joined us in the studio.
Hey, Scott.
Really awesome brother. Scott Becker is here.
All right, we hear you, buddy.
Gummy worms. So we're going to have some snacks here. I hope you guys have your snacks. We're just getting worked up. I don't know if you guys are getting tired or if you need to get your coffee.
Yeah,
we're
night owls, man. We'll keep going.
Playing video games.
Hear that? We got our pork rinds going. We're good to go.
Anyway, I'm still good. But it's really just shooting in all directions, machine gunning it out. I think we should all have Patreons. I think we should have whatever you can possibly get to support the network, and cards are good. Oh my gosh, Scott's holding up some Fringe Radio Network cards right now.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah.
That's cool.
I literally work 3 part-time jobs just to do this, and I'll give out cards to everybody I meet, and they'll pull out their phone and they'll look it up and they'll be like, oh, here's your show on iTunes, or and they'll start playing the latest episode. I'm like, what, we're on iTunes? Oh wow. Oh yeah. And iHeartRadio, you know, we can get anybody that's on the Fringe Radio Network can get their show on iHeartRadio too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's actually really cool. Because
wow.
What's funny?
Did you hear
okay,
that, Jack?
So what's interesting about that? I'm glad you shared that, because we might have to talk off air. Because I tried in WordPress, I was trying to get all that set up, and it wouldn't allow me to make that selection. So I might have to pick your brain later. Side note on that. But hey, before we go any further, sure. If you're just getting warmed up,
yes.
So are we, but we need to take a commercial break so we can pretend to pay for this. if you can give us about 5 minutes, we're going to do a quick little commercial break, allow us to use the potties if we need to, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see what you brought me.
I think you idiots are perfect. They haven't got what you got.
Let's Get Jacked Up. We'll be right back after these messages.
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course, at fringeradionetwork.com.
Okay, we made it to milepost 10 on the 316 highway. I titled this, The First Time Riding a Motorcycle is Just the First of Many Firsts. Remember the first time you threw a leg over a motorcycle and gave it the gas and released the clutch? For some, that was also the last time, as it wheelied up on its back tire, hit the curb, or maybe a tree. But most of us didn't give up. We tried again and again and again till we were as smooth as a baby's butt with that clutch. There are many other firsts, too. Maybe the first time you ventured onto the freeway with a suggested speed minimum of 65 miles an hour. Also, there are the first time you dropped the bike in the parking lot in front of your buddies, the first time you pushed it to its actual top speed, or the first time you missed disaster and you realized that it wasn't due to your skill level. You might have heard, "Someone's looking out for you, pal, and it ain't the other drivers." After a while, we can arrive at that wonderful first when we realize that we are one with the machine. Finely tuned instincts tell us how to countersteer through a field of potholes, or you just know when to apply the brakes, how far to lean, or what that texting driver in the car next to you is going to do before he does it. That's a great confidence builder and replaces the free-floating sense of dread that some novice riders might feel. Replaces it with that cool peace of mind that comes from training, experience, and recovering from a few minor spills. This sort of peace on the road can be transferred to the rest of your life. There can come a time when you and I have enough insight and maturity to pretty much take everything in stride, having gotten over the tendency to flip off other drivers. I just saw that today. I respond with rage at the slightest affront, real or imagined, or coming to terms with the rampant ills in our world. When we hear of the latest media-driven, "Can you believe what happened?" to event, we've tamed the tiger within, and we don't explode into relationship-ruining stupidity. We've all seen that, and at times been there, too. Guilty. Some years ago, I realized that we need to plan our senility carefully. If you are hateful, easily agitated as a young adult, by the time you join the forgetful gray-haired set, having finally honed your skills of blaming, criticizing, and shooting off your mouth, you might realize that you have little time left to finally grow up. Like you, I know people like that. So, how to find inner transformation that will dissolve away the dirty old men that many become? How to do it? Believe it or not, it's just a simple prayer. Paul wrote in one of his 316s, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he might strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being." Paul prayed that for his believers in Ephesians 3:16. And I bet someone has prayed that for you. Maybe your mom or an ex-spouse or even your adult children have prayed repeatedly for you to become a gentle man with the strength of a stallion under control of a loving disposition. Have you had that first yet off the main highway? Why are such gentle people of dignity and steadfastness usually off the main highway hard to find and genuine treasures when found? Probably because far too many wait far too long to actively seek peace of heart and mind that comes through prayer and quietness with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Make MasterCopy your one-stop shop for all your copy needs. Whether it's digital, black and white, or full-color copies, NCR carbonless paper, bindings, laminating, business cards, rubber stamps, sending a fax, or rush orders, MasterCopy has it all.
Located at 4910 North Cedar Avenue, behind Jabba Juice, across from the 7-Eleven. Their phone number is 559-225-7814. That's 559-225-7814. Or get a hold of me, Trey, by emailing him at mastercopycenter@yahoo.com.
You're the disease, and I'm the cure.
I kinda like
you. Listen, you little weasel, you are never, ever getting out of here.
Welcome back to the show. Now here's Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
You're listening to us on the Fringe Radio Network.
We are the Fringe Radio Network. Let's get jacked up. And we have the host of Spirit Wars with us, Michael Basham.
Michael Basham. He's a celebrity, guys, in case you didn't know. He's, like, super popular, and we get to talk to him. It's almost like he's sitting next to me. Not quite on my lap, but almost.
Spirit Wars. All right. Michael, are you with us?
Did you unmute him?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We are here.
All right. Cool.
We are here.
I'm listening to your show at the same time that we're doing this right now.
No worries.
He had to get on the boat to get from Hawaii to here.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And as I said, I'm so excited to meet you officially.
So Michael, we were talking about it, and we're so happy that you're joining us because we would like actually for you to input in on Bobby's crazy news tonight. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let us give us a little recap right now, just for those that maybe are just tuning in. So what's going on right now? And I'll give my input.
Cool. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to transition to another little segment of ours. We like to do segments, if you will. So we're going to have a little intro. I've researched some crazy news stuff. So let's go ahead and get the intro going.
And now it's time for Bobby's Crazy News.
It sounds so professional.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't know if they can hear that, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
It sounds good
good in my ears, too. Okay. Anyways, all right. So, hey, guys, it is now time for Bobby's Crazy News. And as you guys know, I scoured the dark web, or I just type in Google, and I try to find some really weird stuff and some stuff just to kind of make you think and also to make you laugh. Mr. Michael Basham, you said that you got some free minutes to talk over in India, correct?
I do. I accidentally bought like 700 minutes to call anybody in India. So
and I think that's
anybody need to make a phone call in India.
So yeah. So here's what I want you to do. When you do call India finally, okay, I want you to tell somebody about the importance of helping out people who are handicapped. Okay. What happened was in this small country or this small little area in India, they're trying to promote being disabled friendly, right? So they wanted to invite people of disabilities to come and talk at this thing to promote the idea of having wheelchair accessible areas, because you know their laws are different than ours. The thing is that the people who put together this event failed to have a stage that is wheelchair accessible.
Oh my goodness.
So this poor guy shows up in his wheelchair, and you know he's in bad shape. He's got the little mobile wheelchair, it's motorized and all that stuff, and it's a really sad picture. It's him sitting in front on his wheelchair in front of about six stairs trying to get up onto this stage so that he could talk, but it's not wheelchair accessible. I just thought it was very funny because
that's India.
I was going to say,
oh my god.
Yeah, that seems like, you know, the kind of backwards thinking that sometimes we do.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's a real warfare, you know, like just the enemy wants us out of commission. He wants us to be just physically unable to fight the war. And you know what? Even if you're in a wheelchair, like I just told Scott earlier today, like there are people who stand in authority over certain lands. And Scott Becker is one of those people that he is in a wheelchair, but he is absolutely one of the warrior Jedi masters of Hawaii. And, you know, I come to Hawaii from Taiwan just like 8 months ago. I go through Scott, you know, and he literally carried this mahogany table. What is this wood made out of? Is it mahogany or we found it. Somebody had left it by the road. He brought it on his wheelchair. I mean, this guy is literally ready to carry like tons of water on his wheel. I mean, he gets around. I call him Professor X, but he's in studio.
I love it.
You know,
that's funny. Hey, so let me ask you this. I don't know if in Hawaii, because I know Hawaii is somewhat of a left-leaning state. I'm not sure if it's quite as extreme as here in California. But I wanted to ask you, have you ever experienced where kids tend to rebel?
What? Kids rebelling?
No. Okay, well, this is actually not in California. At least I don't think. Where is it? Petaluma. So it's in Petaluma. These kids got in trouble. Well, they didn't really get in trouble. Let me preface with this. The Democrats want desperately for 16-year-olds to be able to vote, right? They desperately want to saturate the voting pool with a whole lot of uneducated voters because they're easily swayed. The only problem with that is that, you know, kids tend to rebel. One of the big things that's been going around is this idea of, you know, being white privileged and this, you know, this really deep PC culture having to do with race. So a bunch of kids got together and very kind of like hidden in the in their yearbook at the Petaluma High School yearbook. They had the white power sign gesture with their hands. It leaked out, and now we have an entire group of parents that are up in arms and demanding that every yearbook be refunded and disposed of.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so this lady is literally holding a sign that hate, not intimidate, right? And I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. What are you doing? And they're like, they're standing there doing like they're protesting the stupid idea that they need to do away with this printed paper because some punk kids wanted to rebel. And you know, and to me, I'm thinking like, did you think it was going to be anything different? The kids are going to do whatever you tell them not to do.
Yeah.
So in PC culture, they say you can't be racist, you can't say this, you can't say that. A man could be a girl could be a man, and they can go pee wherever they want to. And the kids, of course, are going to hear that, and they're going to protest against that because that's the rebel in us, right? That's what we want to do. And it's just so funny that it was actually an eighth grade basketball team, and six of the students are sitting on the bench and they're flashing the like the upside down OK sign. You know how that's kind of turned into like some sort of it's the upside down one.
Oh,
So it's to basically it's the white power thing,
the
right?
Googly eye.
And so they're all up in arms. They're all taken. They're like completely beyond themselves because why would my son Billy? Why did you do that, Billy? That's so unlike you. You know, and it's like, listen. Mom, I'm going to do what I want to do, even though, you know, you tell me not to because that's my nature. And, you know, I just am curious. Do you think that the voting age of 16 is a good idea, Mr. Michael?
Oh, hi. Oh, wow. I am the political commentator tonight. I believe that will. They have no idea what 16-year-olds are like now. They think that 16-year-olds are under their control because they've been through public school. Well, guess what? They're all watching PewDiePie and they're all using the internet. So all they need
– they're also eating Tide Pods, so we have to remember that too.
I'm not saying that they should vote. I'm just saying that if they even try to do that, which is a really dumb idea, but if they try to do that, a lot of teenagers are actually pro-Trump, believe it or not. Like they're not – libtards, and it's thanks to people like PewDiePie. PewDiePie has lost probably like $70 million or more.
Wow!
Can you imagine just giving up $70 million? Even if you're rich, that's a lot of money.
Amen.
Because he doesn't want to go back on his morals and integrity.
Sure,
he's got integrity because he's like, I'm just going to keep making fun of libtards. He does that. He just
PewDiePie
makes
didn't even. He didn't start off as being so political, did he?
No, and I'll be honest, like probably he's like 5% political and 95% video game dork clown.
Right, because that's what I remember. I remember him just being like that over-exaggerated, freaking out to video, you know, like video game play or whatever. So when I heard that he was getting like, you know, kicked out for the political stuff, it's funny. I have to tell you, side note, Jack and Tim are literally shaking, looking at each other. Like shoulders raised, they have no idea who we're talking about.
Cutie, whatie?
No, cutie, right? What is it?
Anyway. but yeah, so you know, the idea that somebody as successful as him is getting thrown under the bus because of 5%, you say on average of his content is bashing people that that he disagrees with. Oh my gosh. It's just
incredible.
Well,
he's kind of like me. I mean, he just has a fun time online and talks about whatever the heck he wants. And sometimes it's just memes that make fun of the Democrats. And he doesn't care. I mean, some of the funniest memes are the ones that make fun of Alexandria Cortez or whatever her name is, the Cajun Cortex.
And they compare her to a donkey, and they talk about how she should go back to being a bartender. That's a way better job for her.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and have you ever – I mean, okay, so have you ever listened to her talk?
She sounds like a little millennial, like who's giving like her like a beauty pageant speech.
Yes, you know? Oh my gosh, I tried listening to her like she was talking. I can't remember one MSNBC, CNN, one of these guys that love her, right? And I could not get through the interview because this is her. Ready? And I was like, oh my gosh, green, you know, energy is so important. And I'm like, we're going to be dead in like 12 years. And I'm like, we can't do that. And I'm like, I just wanted to reach through and like, you know, knock some sense into her and say, think about your words before you say them. I don't need to hear the like so many times. It's so frustrating. But, you know, it's just amazing how dumb she might be. A smart girl. But it's just amazing how dumb she sounds because she doesn't bother getting the facts. In fact, one of her statements says, she's like, yeah, I know what the facts are, but that's not how I feel. And basically implicating that how I feel is more important than the facts. And how stupid is that, you know?
Well, they're very smart, actually, how they use someone like that. And it shows how the controllers, the real controllers, you notice how there aren't any people talking about the Illuminati anymore. It's sure. Kind of like a, yeah, whatever, they're around, but everybody's talking about politics, and the controllers, the puppet masters,
yes.
You know, they are using us distracted by these idiots. And I don't think Trump is an idiot, but he knows how to speak to idiots. He dumbs down his language.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Much. In fact, I have a guy who's just huge liberal in my class. I where I work, and he is all about AOC. He's all about, you know, total inclusion and with the whole transgender movement, and you know, just all of these things. He's just absolutely on board, right? Completely, absolutely on board. And you can't even have a civil conversation with this guy because everything is just like, well, you know, I see what you mean, but is that really what's important? I mean, I just want you got to think about how other people feel first before you go and like start judging people. And I'm like, I'm not judging. If you don't like what I'm saying, tough. You know, I'm speaking what I've know to be true based off of what I know. And you know, it's just these groups of people are so absolutely dumb. They're blinded by all of this stuff. I mean, let's be real. Talking about the whole Illuminati thing, my kids are watching this Nickelodeon show, and one of the main bad guys is the Illuminati Triangle.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, so they're making it into a joke. And once it becomes a joke, I mean, it's like Satan, right? The greatest thing he ever did was prove that he was silly, that he was
– or doesn't even exist, or is a good guy.
Or is a good guy, absolutely. But, you know, when people started putting horns and you know, and a tail on him and making him trot around, you know, colored and – you know,
Halloween
all, yeah, whatever. It's like once that happens, it becomes – it's no longer the threat, mm-hmm. You know. All right.
Well, what do you think about the Illuminati? Like, I mean, it's obviously everywhere, and we always talk about how the deep state is being exposed, and now, you know, they're losing ground, but do you think there will be an Antichrist world government that will arise? Do you think there will be, like, maybe a world war, like an end-time scenario, a Mark of the Beast system, like, you know?
I mean, it says it in
like
the Bible
prophecy.
So, yeah,
what do you guys
I mean,
think of Bible prophecy?
Revelation.
I want to see you guys talk Bible prophecy sometime. I can't wait to hear that.
Oh
episode.
Boy. Well, you know what? That I don't know if you heard a few weeks back when Jack and I got into some serious, you know, back and forth about stuff. But him and I have two different ideas on the prophecy, the end prophecies, and so that would actually make for a pretty entertaining show, I think.
You know, Michael, years and years ago, I was talking to who at a friend of ours, my wife and I have another couple friends, and we were playing some game, I think Monopoly or something. And she made the statement. She says that the Antichrist movement is not going to be like people think. They're not going to come right out and say, deny Jesus Christ or we'll cut your head off. And I adamantly said, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. It will happen one day. And that for believing in Christ, they will be killing you. And for not denying him, they will be killing you. And some people will lose their heads. Well, we saw the same couple. This was probably 18 years ago.
Whoa.
And we saw the same couple. And she looked at me and she said, how did you know? And I said, what? I totally forgot about the conversation. And she said, about, you know, people losing their heads for their beliefs and being killed because they're Christians. And I said, well, it's in prophecy. And, you know, the one thing that separates the Bible from any other religious book out there is its accuracy in prophecy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing things.
And so many of them, by the way.
So many of them. We're seeing things unfold every day that are fulfilling prophecy that it just blows people's minds. Like the new temple in Jerusalem, the one world government a one world religion that the Pope and the Imam and evidently the heads of the Christian churches around the world. I want to know who all these heads were, okay, that represented the Pentecostal church, that represented the Seventh-day Adventist church, that represented the Mormon church. I want to know who all these people were that were at this religious conference that the Pope and the Imam signed a world religion covenant, basically, and because I want to know who they are, and because nobody's coming out and telling us, but yeah, we see Satan active in our churches. When the church, like for instance, it wasn't that long ago that I remember people, if you were living with a woman that you loved, but you were living together and you weren't married, the church would excommunicate you. They would give you warnings. They'd tell you, we love you and we want you to be here, but we can't have you leading in the church. We can't have you doing things as a leader in the church while you're living together. You need to get married. They'd tell people that. And now I know people that have been living together their entire time together. And they're not married. They didn't get married in the church, and they're holding positions in the church. I see this as wrong. Mm. And this is just one topic. But I go to a church where the band that leads the worship sing like they're Christians, and they sound fabulous, and they weep on demand, and they pray, and they get all emotional and everything else. And one of the guys isn't even a Christian.
Weeping on demand.
Right. And it's great acting. Okay. But here's the deal. As I said in another show, this is deception at its best already in the church. What happens when a young person who's actually a teenager or something, he looks up to these people that are on stage and he sees one of them, you know, like in a grocery store or something out in the world. And he says, and he just opens up. He says, you know, I listen to you sing. I feel like I can relate to you. And he starts talking. I'm really going through something. Is this musician or singer, Is this artist going to tell him, excuse me, I'm not really a Christian?
I just play one on TV.
I just play one on the stage, you know, on Sunday morning.
Oh my God.
Or is he going to give him advice, keeping his cover from his life experiences, not from the Holy Spirit, not through the Holy Spirit. How capable is Satan? It's like the Matrix. He can use anyone that's not disconnected. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're still connected to his world, he can use you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not disconnected. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this guy's up on stage and he's serving. If you're not serving God, you're serving the other. You may not know you're serving the other. A lot of people don't know that they're serving Satan. And then they accept Christ and they go, wow. Like I told you guys, like I told him on one show, I actually am very much against abortion or what I call murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I have a thorn in my flesh. And that is that when I was in the world, I actually took a young high school couple to the abortion clinic so that they could get rid of it, okay? So they wouldn't destroy both their lives, okay? And that will live with me I've been forgiven of it, but that will live with me for that memory that I actually did Satan's work, that I was a tool. And I didn't know it.
Well, and it's under the guise of good intention. And that's the biggest thing that I always tell when people say, well, I'm a good person. I was like, that's good. You're going to be good right to hell. because the thing is that being good, what is that? It's relative. Good according to what? According to the person next to you? Well, of course, that's easy. But when you're comparing yourself to Christ, you're never going to be good enough, right. You know? But you know, that's the one thing about people is that we think we know best.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Of course, they've all come. Yeah. But until we get to that point, until we come to that realization, we think we're good enough just being amongst our own devices. I'm not a killer. I'm not a serial liar. I mean, I do tell white lies occasionally. I hit my wife if she misbehaves, but only sometimes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
No, what I'm saying but you know, it's just crazy how
we can justify it.
Yes.
It's, of course, everything is justified because when you're comparing it to, again, your neighbor, then it's real easy.
The prophecy part of this is God said that in the end times, good will be perceived as evil,
right.
And evil the reversal, and right. Evil will be perceived.
Well, you know, and that's something that we proclaim that all the time on this show about how we must be right on the cusp of something big, because for us to be so turned backwards, right? I mean, the truth is designed to be black and white. It is designed to be clear and cut and dry and to the point, because the last thing you want to do is to have any kind of convoluted issue, anything that could be misinterpreted, right? So the truth is designed by God to be absolute,
right?
Right? But that's not what society teaches today. We just, as I was saying before, you know, we got people who are saying that truth is relative. Your truth could be different than my truth. In a previous episode when I was on my news thing, I was telling you about how, you know, Oprah is engaged in this this cult-like, Christ-like religion, question mark, where they basically, they say that they're picking and choosing. They're taking a little bit from Hinduism, they take a little bit from Christianity, a little bit from this and from that, and they're sandwiching it together into this pretty little package because it's what feels right.
Right.
You know, and again, that's all you're doing is you're making truth a sliver in a world of gray, you know, in this massive, I just picture like when a camera is not quite in focus, that's kind of how I picture what the world has become. Yeah. There, nothing is crystal clear because everything is so quote unquote relative to your own truth.
Mike, I don't know if that answers any of your questions, but that's, there you go.
Will, it's a great topic. this is a very Iron Show style show, which I love, because it's a bunch of men talking. No, Johnny's not here, but we've got enough people here to make we could do like a 6-hour podcast here. But I mean, you know, truth, I mean, if these people, if they were actually interested in the truth, then they would be open to course correction, and it wouldn't be this kind of Nazi style, like, we're going to shut you down if you're not 1,000,000% for transgender operations funded by taxpayers or gay marriage or whatever, you know. And I'm not even interested in people that want to do that. That's not even on my radar usually. But it's like, when you're forcing me to promote it
or pay for
it, and then they're saying it's like, no, it's 100% truth, hands down, you know, case closed.
Right.
And you're like, no, I've been in some cults before where they did that, and that's not – but, you know, I'm reading the Bible. I just downloaded an ebook. I got a Kindle, and I'm downloading – I'm watching – reading an ebook about the book of Genesis, and it goes through the Hebrew, and it opens up a lot of questions about the book of Genesis and about the Garden of Eden. And as a Christian, I'm interested in that stuff. I want to know, you know, what – does that Hebrew word mean? What could it mean that God, you know, ordered the stars in a certain way? Could it mean that – did that mean that these stars didn't exist before the earth existed? Or could it have been that the Hebrew says that he put the stars in a certain place, or that the – you know, it was terraformed or whatever? Well, and so I'm always looking for more truth. I'm always ready to update my doctrine to focus on reality, not – I'm not in a cult. Basically.
Yeah. Well, you know, so what's great about that statement is that when I first started hanging out with these guys, I was a pretty black and white, you know, you listen to the pastor, you make sure you read along to ensure that he's speaking truth, and, you know, it is what it is. And then, you know, the scales were peeled off, if you will. And I've known Tim for going on 20 years probably. And he would talk about his, you know, his conspiracy theories and stuff. And every once in a while I would poke the bear and just say, hey, Tim, what do you think about that whole, like, Roswell thing? Or what do you think about the you know, the Nephilim? Were they really giants? Or, you know, all, just to kind of see what he would say. And just kind of – almost for – my own amusement, yes, right?
Entertainment.
Yes. And then I started digging deeper, and then I started talking to Jack. And, you know, Jack, like I said, we agree probably 3% of the time.
Yeah.
Because him and I have very different beliefs on how to interpret the Bible or how to take the Bible. But the one thing that I find to be very interesting is that, you know, there are words, as you said. There's, you know, a Hebrew word – could mean – have a completely different meaning depending on the word before it or the word after it. And it's – that's really compelling to me. That's really interesting to me, because what happens if there was an interpretation that doesn't quite mesh with – does that mean that the whole Bible is a farce now because I'm reading a version that is not up to snuff according to the Hebrew version? You know, so we get – I'm on your page when it comes to this idea of digging deeper. The only thing I caution, though, is that you make sure that for those who are listening who might be interested also, be secure in your faith before you start digging into things like that, especially where it could start raising questions that you're not prepared to push on. Because, you know, there's a lot of like History Channel stuff where they talk about Jesus Christ and they do all these things, but it's all propaganda stuff. It's not really about Christ as God. It's Christ as man. And when they start doing that, you get stuck into this they simplify or they personify too much instead of God-defy. I don't know if that's a word or not. But they put too much emphasis on the man part and not enough on the God part. And if somebody is a new Christian or is on the verge of accepting Christ or is even just curious and they see that, or if they hear that or they read that, it could completely take them in a direction that Satan becomes victorious in.
Hmm. You know, you said – you hit upon something, Michael, that has always been dear to my heart, and that is I like the Old Testament, and I like to go to Genesis in the beginning and see if has God stayed the same all the way through, things like that. And one of the things that hit me the other day, poor guy, he got the wrong dude. a Jehovah's Witness came up to me at the gas station.
You got the wrong dude, all right.
And I was getting ready to go. I was in my work truck. And I was getting ready to go. I was getting gas to go to work, and I was in my work truck. And he thought he had a sucker. I do emergency work. When somebody drunk driver hits a telephone pole, or lightning hits a transformer, we get called out at all hours, night and day, and sometimes on Sunday. And so this Sunday morning, I'm at the gas pump. He feels like he's got a live one because I'm not at church on Sunday. he comes up and he starts talking to me, and I go, "Wait a minute, let me ask you a question. Do you have your Bible?" And he said, "Yeah, I have my Bible." I said, "All right, let's take a look at your Bible." And not my Bible, your Bible. And, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses print their own Bibles, and they can make it say anything they want. So does the Catholic Church. But so does Benny Hinn. Okay, so does Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley. And so, when you start looking at interpretations, the Bible's been interpreted 4,000 times. There's been over 4,000 productions of the Bible. And that means that they've switched them. When I meet with somebody I have a friend of mine that's Korean, and his Bible doesn't say what my Bible says. Because it's read in a different pattern, backwards, forward, that kind of thing. And so when he reads his word, some of the Bible verses have a totally different meaning. So we can't rely, in my viewpoint, it's not so much the word. The word's there. It's more the Holy Spirit teaching you what's in the word. Okay? For instance, one of the things I talked to Tim. Tim has read the Bible, read through these verses since he was a baby. He was in his mother's womb for 9 months and heard his dad preaching, all that stuff. And so he's probably subconsciously forgotten more Bible than I'll ever know. But I was reading in this, and see, I don't call the creation story the creation. I call it the fabrication. Because creation means you start with nothing and you create something. Fabrication means you start with product that's already existing and you build upon it. You reform it, you refabricate it. And in Genesis, in the very beginning, it says I'm opening my Bible, it says, "In the beginning God created." And it says the heavens and the earth. This is like a statement. And the speaker, when you go to a speaking conference and a guy standing on the podium, he's going to tell you a statement of what he's going to say. And that's basically what this is. This is a statement. And then verse 2 says, "The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface." Now, nowhere in there except for verse 1, which is a statement about him creating the heavens and the earth, does it say anything about creating earth. And it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. And then God started to fabricate from that product. Now then, we know from the Bible that it took 6 days, and he rested the seventh, but it took 6 days to make the earth the way he wanted it. Thanks to the Hubble telescope and, you know, the Nazis and NASA, we now know that there are millions and millions of planets and solar systems out there, even more than they don't even know. They say there could be millions of more than what they even know. And the Bible says in the star thing that you mentioned, it says that God, the only thing it in the 6 day creation, it only talks about the earth as the subject. When it talks about the stars and the sun and the moon, it says to put light upon the earth. But we know that the earth is, according to the word of God, the earth is a 7,000-year block of time separated out to give man the chance to come back to God, basically, create a family for Jesus. And so even if it was 700,000 years and not 7,000 years, even if it was 7 million years and not 7 days or 7,000 years, we know that there are solar systems out there so far away that when their sun explodes, it takes 1.5 million years for the light to touch Earth. So we know that that light, right now, a sun that never shined light on the Earth could explode, and we would never see it. The Earth would be gone. It would be part of the heavens before this light ever got here. So if it took 6 days to build the Earth for God, how many millions and millions and millions of days did it take to build all the other planets? But it gets even better than that. How long did it take Satan?
Honestly don't have all the answers to that. I'm just interested in having the conversation and
right.
and maybe debating people. I know Kent Hovind is an awesome debater.
And
have you guys heard of Kent Hovind before?
No. Yeah, I have.
Well, I'm not looking for a debate. I'm talking about bringing these points out, that because we've locked ourselves into the Christian church has locked our faith into this 7-day creation thing. And now we got all kinds of theories about the gap theory and all these other things. And it's like people are looking for a way to justify
evolution. And don't forget the flat earth theory, too.
The flat earth theory, yeah. Everybody's looking for a different method. And what I'm reading in the Bible is that God created it all. But he could have created it all in one breath. He could have created it all in 6 days. He could have created it all in 60 billion years. And it was this point, with Earth in its socket where it's supposed to be, that he returns after he's done building the heavens. And he says, okay, it's time for me to fabricate the Earth now. And he takes I look at a lava lamp and I see a formless blob. And he takes his formless blob and he forms it and he creates the Earth. Now, it doesn't say he created the Earth that day. It said that his spirit was hovering over the Earth. But this is where it gets good. People that don't believe in the Trinity, they don't believe that Jesus is God, they don't believe the Holy Spirit is God, they believe they're all individuals. The Holy Spirit is the only part of the Godhead, or the body of God, the entity of God, that you can't blaspheme. And yet it was the Spirit of God that was hovering over this. And it was the Spirit of God that began to form. But in the Word, Christ says that he was before all things and that all things were made for him, by him, and through him. And so when you start looking at this, you come to a point where you say, okay, wait a minute. I must rely on the Holy Spirit, because God's Word tells us that he wrote this word to confound the wise. And who are the wise? There's those that looking at it without the Holy Spirit and deciphering it for themselves.
You know, and I think that's the biggest, you know, with everything that you said, the biggest truth in this is that God will confound the wise. I mean, let's be real. How many people do we know who are a lot smarter than us that think we're idiots because we believe in God? Hmm. Right? And
I have a ton.
Hold on.
People who are smarter than us. Hello.
It's just amazing to me because it's almost as if intellectualness is the greatest crippler for their faith, because they have the people who typically are intellectuals their foundation is based on their accolades, their ability to see, to do, to proceed, and faith is a contradiction to all of that. Faith is literally, you know, it's Indiana Jones stepping on an invisible plank over a pit because it seems like the right thing to do, because everything else is telling him that's what he needs to do. I feel like that's where we as a society are failing. The intellectuals anyway are failing because they're not willing to take that leap because it doesn't seem feasible. It's a God thing. God is not,
God is miracles and is beyond our understanding for a reason. It's designed that way so that he could get the credit for it. Otherwise, somebody out there would be like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, amen. I think we're really and I was just talking to Scott, you know, like there's so much information out there. He was talking about how like in the book of Jasher and these extra biblical books, there's a lot of information that we should continue to develop our faith and to challenge ourselves and each other. And that's kind of what these shows are all about. But one thing that, you know, I believe there's a lot of people that they're still not really understanding the gospel, and they still, and even that, even the ones that do, they still haven't really met Jesus. And Oswald Chambers used to say, you know, you're witnessing to people, you're calling yourself a doctor of souls amongst all the other information that you're sharing with people to bait them, to get them in. You need to introduce them to Jesus Christ, the real person of Jesus Christ. And I can tell by talking to you guys and my brother Scott here that these are people that know Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, and the thing about Jesus Christ is that what better way to share who he is than through your testimony, you know? And that's why you always, for me anyways, when I find out that there's a Christian near me, I always ask them, so what's your testimony? You know, and it could either be a lot of people think that your testimony is when you became. That's right. Yeah. But that's not even it. I mean, your testimony could be what happened to you earlier this afternoon. It could have been, you know, what happened the moment before I asked you. It could be the fact that I am asking you.
Well,
I mean, you know, there's
guys asking me about my testimony.
Right. I mean, I mean, I'm just saying, look at Saul, right? What happened with Saul?
Yeah.
Saul was, you know, basically relying on God because God forced it. But still, I mean, what are the chances of a man going to where he was to be to have a conversation with him other than the fact that God had intervened in both of their lives to make that happen? And our faith and our testimony is what I believe is the closest link between us and the truth to give to those people who don't believe.
I read a Bible verse earlier in the show that is really apropos. I mean,
are you there, man? We're having some Skype problems. I can hear bits and pieces, but it sounds inspired. But
I'm hearing you now.
I read a Bible. You there, Mike? Michael? I read a Bible verse earlier in the show.
We are here, loud and clear, hearing you guys.
Acts 9.
Go ahead.
Acts 9, ahead. Verse 11. And it says, now this is like your spirit wars. This is your spiritual stuff, right? I mean, this is really meaty. And it says, the Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now. He could hear his prayers at that moment.
This is what you were talking about in the beginning of the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it says, I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can sin.
Right.
Okay, so there's so much going on here. One is that Jesus Christ is hearing the prayer. The second one is that he sent a vision. And then the third one is he's telling them where to go and how to do this and what to tell him so that Ananias would receive his
vision.
Well,
you know, and the question this, and Michael, I'd like to hear your input on this, is that, you know, people think that miracles and stuff only happened in the Bible to get the message started, but then after that it went away. My question to you is that do you think that God is still working like that today where he is, you know, I mean, he's omnipresent, right? But does that mean that he is that involved where he's mitigating that? Did I say that right? I don't know. Micromanaging basically the events in the lives of people that are listening just for the sake of getting his point across.
You there, Michael? We may have lost him.
It's all right. So you know what? It sounds like we might have lost Michael. Michael, if you're listening, try to come back. We'll go ahead and hang up and let him call back so that way he has a chance. But, you know, this is the thing about testimonies. You know, testimony, in my opinion, is the root of our life experience to communicate the truth of Christ. We all have them. We, as a Christian, we have them. It doesn't have to be the way you were saved. I mean, mine was kind of boring, right? I mean, and that's okay. Because it worked for me. God was communicated. He communicated his truth to me through that personal experience. But miraculous things have happened in my life that I attribute only to God. That there's nothing else that God could have done, that nothing else anybody else could have done other than God. Does that make sense? So,
well, yeah, testimony. You know, when God says that you have a testimony, here's the deal. The Bible, what happens... And this is, I keep telling Christians this, what happens when they outlaw the Bible? Okay? Mm. What happens then? If your faith isn't strong enough, if you don't know the love of God, if you don't know his message.
Are you there, Michael?
Loud and clear.
All right, we're back. Okay.
In other words, if you can know the word, but if you don't know God, and they outlaw our Bibles and they take them away, or like they're doing in China right now.
Right.
Okay. And those Christians have the word of God in their heart. The Bible says in the last days, they'll be quoting scripture as normal as their in their normal speech. So that means that he's imprinting the Bible on their heart, in their soul. Mm-hmm. And so if your relationship, like Michael said earlier, is with Jesus Christ, and if your relationship is solid, my marriage is 35 years to my wife. I don't worry about my wife cheating on me. I know there's guys that worry about that kind of stuff, but we've been through so much together, thick and thin, that I know she has my back all the time, that she's always wanting the best for me.
And that says a lot because, you know, let's be real. As husbands, we're pretty horrible at our job as being husbands a lot of the time.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm the perfect husband.
Wow.
Mr. Jack Wife, could you please come in? I'd like to clarify that. But anyways, you know, now that we got Michael back, I really want to ask you this, Michael. Do you believe that miracles are still an active thing, or are you, because you know there's two lines of thought. There's one line that says miracles happened in the Bible as a way of communicating to that group of people during that time, but there are other people that say no, it's happening every single day. Now the question is it's kind of twofold. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's an everyday or not anymore? If you believe that it's an everyday thing, is it as commonplace as a lot of these preachers that are the faith healers and stuff like that claim it to be?
That's a good question. And I mean, this is a thing, like you can get healings, you can get prophecies and still live a very non-godly life. But the miracle that I'm most interested in is contacting God himself and knowing that he's talking to me personally. And I've seen miracles happen that are so crazy that I don't know where to start with you, but they include various natural disasters that seem to me to be supernatural just because of the way that they happen, and flukes and impossible things. And I come from a line of, I mean, my grandfather is a chemist. He has patents for DuPont. I come from a very logical background, and for me to find a miracle, I think about the logistics, the possibility, the probability of something like this happening, and it's like, this is, oh my gosh, probability calculating through navigation of an asteroid field is approximately 1 billion to 1, and never tell me the odds, but I'm thinking like, this is real. God is talking to us. You know, we're literally in spiritual warfare. We are his soldiers. I have no idea what the general is thinking right now. All I can tell you
is based off my experience in collaborating with other soldiers. We are engaged in mortal combat of the spirit. I know people.
Yes.
Well, you know, Michael.
Get over here.
You know, Michael, you say that, and I was telling Tim a couple months ago. I'm starting to run, and I told you guys this when we had that big show with all of us on there,
Johnny.
Iron Show, yeah, with Johnny. I'm running into people that are doing this, not just the podcast, but they're doing the same ministry ideas, ministry things that we're doing as individuals and such. They have the same ideas, and they're all across the United States and around the world. It's like God is putting these thoughts in people's minds. Do this. This is what I want you to do. And it's not coming from this church or that church or anybody else. It's like he's putting them there and saying, okay, you need to go fight this battle, and I want you to do this. And over here in a totally different area, a guy gets the same idea, and he feels a message from God and sent by God, and he's doing the exact same thing. And this lady over here is doing something, and all of a sudden you got all these people. I know a lady that has she collects baby food and diapers and stuff on Facebook. She's had this ministry for years. She doesn't make a dime on it. She's very poor. But she's always giving this. She collects this stuff from people that has extra, and she's giving it to people that are in need. Mm. And she's sharing the gospel, and she's winning souls for Christ, and she's not affiliated. It's not through her church.
Man, wow, that's great.
That's the spirit. This, you just nailed it. And just to kind of tie together all the things that we talked about, this is the big picture, is Trump has this space force. We're thinking about spirit force, and it's people like that, and it's people like you, and it's people like Scott in the room right now, who I'm trying to bring on, but he's very gentlemanly and very quiet. But I'm telling you, this is the spirit force. This is the next echelon that is going to someday connect to when we start going to space and we find out all this weird esoteric occult, you know, 2001 and all the weird things about, you know, being rebirthed and the monolith, and space is full of occult stuff. You go to Saturn, you see the giant hexagon on the North Pole and the rings of Saturn, all the weird stuff with all the religions tied into the stars. And when we start actually physically traveling to space, we are going to need to know our gospel, our word of God. That's your lightsaber. You're going to need to tune into the Holy Spirit. That's your force right there. And you're going to need to know how to pilot one of these crafts, any craft. That's just following the leadings and guidings of the Spirit. It's like, he's turned off his navigation equipment. You know, trust the force, Luke. Trust the force. Like, oh, I think I got it. And, you know, that's how we need to operate. That's why you can be an elite, just an absolute ace pilot in the spiritual warfare, is by trusting the Holy Spirit. The miracles are not just like, oh, I prayed for somebody and they got healed today. Oh, let's go get drunk at the bar now, and I gotta go rape some kids.
Jeez. But I mean, sorry. Let's be real. That's vulgar and rough, but that's the reality for some people.
It is. And I'm saying we need to follow God personally and get in touch with Jesus Christ, the person, today. And then introduce him to people. And then everything else is just
great. I could hear Scott in the background, and it's I wish he would get on, because he sounds like a very intellectual man. Because for him, I mean, let's be real.
He is.
Not very many people will go on record and make bold statements about their faith like that. You know, and for I wish that he would get on, because I would love to have a conversation with him about these things. Because, like I said, I mean, he's obviously out there in the battlefield with the rest of us.
Right.
And like I was saying before, I mean, you guys are dealing with people like Dog the Bounty Hunter over on your neck of the woods, you know? So I'm sure you got your fill of intellectual question marks, but you're out there doing God's will, doing God's work in a place that, you know, would be least likely to be found, I'm sure.
Well, Scott, who's Dog the Bounty Hunter? I'm new here in Hawaii. Who's that?
Seriously?
Don't worry about him. don't concern yourself over him right now.
I really hope he's kidding. I really hope he's kidding.
He's on live with us.
You know,
Hold on. Is this Scott? Is this Scott that's on the air now?
Yeah, Scott's sitting.
I'm here, live in the flesh. How you
dude,
doing,
dude? Hey, okay. Well, on behalf of us here at Let's Get Jacked Up, it is definitely a privilege to have you on our show right now. You know, and somebody who's willing to put in the work like you have, you know, despite adversities and despite all these things that get thrown at us, man. What a privilege it is to have a conversation with you. And honestly, to be real, I was just tired of listening to Michael. So I'm totally kidding. Michael, I hope you didn't hear that. As we're trucking along on this podcast today, you know, what is it about Christ, about your faith, that gets you excited about sharing it with other people? Because, you know, I lead the worship at my church, and that the biggest problem that we have right now is that we are very stagnant in the church that I'm at. And I'm constantly trying to encourage people, go out, meet somebody new, have a conversation. It doesn't matter if they look scary or not. If God is telling you to go, you're safe, you are protected, you need to go. And people don't. So my question to you is, how do you go through the process of doing that?
Well, let me just give you a little background first real quick. I was saved when I was about 17 and a half, almost 18, and then I backslid. I'm a prodigal. Mm. So I came back to the Lord, you know, later on in life after I, you know, went back into the world and, you know, went and swam in the muck and got myself dirty and, you know, the whole nine. And so... I finally realized the completeness of His grace and His mercy. I finally realized it because when I came back to Him, I realized His love and His mercy and His grace are so real, and it touched and moved me so much that He would accept me back after what knowing the truth and then going back into the world, that it just. Every day I get up, I'm humbled and just amazed that He still loves me.
Amen.
And so that motivates me because He still loves me after all I've done, and I come back to Him and he was waiting there the whole time for me. And then I realize his mercy and His grace. I understand it to the fullest meaning now, where before I took it for granted. So now when I meet people, and it's God that does this, He puts people. Me and Michael had the encounter today. He'll attest to this, to what happened today. People are drawn to me. It's God doing it. It's not me. And people come up to me, the oddest people, the strangest of the strange, and the outcasts and all that. And they come up to me, and the first thing I do is I bring it right out. Is do you know your Savior? Do you know your God?
Man,
that's one of the first things I bring out, because that is the most important question of the day. That is like, you know, is your soul saved? Are you saved? Do you have a go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and you know what's sad? It is a very direct question, and it is it's intimidating for people to say more than it is for people to hear, you know, because the question is convicting, but it's interesting how it's almost more convicting for the person who God is charging with asking the question, but they're afraid to because of whatever reason. It's almost like they're afraid of the accountability that is attached to that question. And it's amazing because once you've asked it a couple of times, it becomes real easy, and it almost is a joy when you realize that the person you're talking to is in fact a Christian and does have the same love for God that you do, because then the conversation changes and you're able to kind of hear their side and hear where they're coming from.
Exactly. And that's the aha moment. It's like, you know, oh, okay, you know Him. Okay, and then the questions start getting more direct. Do you really know Him? And are you walking with Him, you know? And I don't really, it's not like I just you know, bam, I just in your face, you know, oh, you know God, you know, you have the Christ as your Savior. I don't mean, I don't come off that, you know, that instantly. I mean, I try to introduce myself to the individual and try to get them know them real quick, you know, just kind of get a feel for who they are. And then as the conversation goes on, then I kind of, you know, I introduce the question, you know, I kind of gradually put it out there, you know, do you believe in God? And so, then the next question is, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ and his son, and do you have him as your Savior, and so on and so forth. And so every conversation goes differently, but I'm just giving you a general, of how it happens. But it's God that's doing all this. God is the one having these people approach me. And I guess it's like because I'm in the wheelchair, and I'm not quadriplegic. I'm not a paraplegic. I was a quadriplegic when I had the accident, but by the mercy of God, I went through a physical therapy, and I can actually walk with a cane and a walker. I use the wheelchair is because it's a mode for me to get around. It's my car because I can't drive because of my handicap.
Right.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and then I get around the streets. I mean, so since I'm on the sidewalk and I'm down in the dirty. You know what I mean? I'm on the sidewalk. I'm passing the people on the bus stops. I'm passing the people on the corners, sleeping on the streets, the whole nine. So I'm in the thick of it. So I get opportunities that the average person doesn't get to have, but because I'm afforded these opportunities, I try my best. And believe me, I don't do it all the time, and I feel guilty for some missed opportunities. I don't know. I have to answer for this.
He does it all the time.
Well, truth comes out.
I know, but I have missed opportunities. You know, everyone does. You know, and I mean, you kick yourself for it later. You know, you had a moment and you had an opportunity and you didn't do it because you just weren't feeling up to it or something wasn't going right or whatever the reason. But I'm just saying that I have more opportunities than the average individual, and I just figured we're so far into the game right now. We're so close to some real, like you said, we're having prophetical events unfolding before us every day, moment by moment, and the prophetic clock is ticking. And I mean, I believe in my heart of hearts, I believe we are the generation. I think we're going to see Christ.
What a blessing.
It is. And it's funny because I'm pretty sure the three of us at this table feel the same way. And what's funny is that you can tell the depth of someone's salvation by the way they respond to that statement. Mm. If they respond to that statement with a hallelujah, amen, I can't wait for that day to come versus, really? I mean, like, that could happen while we're still alive. Right. You know, you could kind of feel out like, okay, so I know where you really are, because if you were not saying they're saved or not, that's not my statement to make. But somebody who's a true believer is anxiously awaiting the moment to be with Christ. The sooner the better.
Oh, absolutely.
You know there's a
– Yeah, that – I know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Finish.
It's the delay.
I tell a story about the dentist, and this dentist is working in his office. His dog's never been to his office before, and the dentist has closed rooms. It has a door on each room, and his wife stops by the office one day has his dog, and the dog breaks from her hands and runs down the hallway, and hits the door that his master's behind and is sitting there trying to get in the door. Now the door's closed, but the dog knows that his master's there. The one he loves is there. And the dog wants everything he can to get with his master, but he doesn't know what's on the other side of the door. He just knows his master's there. Okay. And what's on the other side of the door is not a fear for him because his master's there. All he knows is he wants to get to his master, and we need to be like that. Okay, we need to be like that dog, and you know, if Disney World's the greatest thing that they can come up with, heaven's going to be a whole lot greater.
Oh, for sure.
When I was a kid, I remember this being a thing. Every kid said, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yep.
When are we there getting there? Are we there yet?"
We're like saying like that about heaven,
right?
Okay.
And you said something that's very profound, and that is that people are not. When I meet people, I meet two kinds of people out doing outreach work. I call it outreach work for God. Mm. And I see two types of people. And neither one of them is wrong in my book, but there's one that's more right. And I dislike it when I run in. I really, it kind of bothers me, makes my hair stand up on my neck. When I run into somebody and they go, "You're a Christian?" And I go, "Yes, I'm a born-again Christian." And they go, "Well, what church do you go to?" And I go, "Isn't that the wrong question?"
Yeah.
And they go, "What do you mean?" And I go, "Shouldn't you ask me about my relationship with the one and only true living God? And about my..."
There it is right there.
"About my Lord?" Mm-hmm. And people want to be call themselves Christians these days. They want to say they're saved because that's a free ticket to heaven.
Mm.
But they don't want the other part that comes with accepting Christ. They don't want him to have lordship over their life. He's my master. I am his servant. And nobody, being a servant or a slave is an ugly term in this world. But I am the servant. I'm the field worker, the guy pulling the weeds. It's his field. He owns it. And like you said, if you're a servant of God, you don't have to worry about having plenty of people to talk to about him, because there are no accidents. God will bring them to you. It's just open your eyes and your heart. The eye that's in your heart to see that this is what their issue is and why God sent them to you. And it's talking to them from their view, from their point. And that's why I asked the Jehovah's Witness, do you have your Bible? Because my Bible doesn't matter. If he doesn't believe my Bible, it's not going to matter. But if he has his Bible, he's going to believe in the translation of his Bible. And so what I did was I led this man to the Lord at that gas pump using his own Bible.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah.
And that was the issue. Right, and that was the issue. He came to me and he got an hour-long
that sounds about
retraining,
right.
Okay, re-informing.
Yeah.
And I used his Bible to do it.
Were you late for the emergency?
and no, we have great. Time to yeah. meet. We have
yeah.
time to meet.
Yeah.
But well, you know, but we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, my amen. Wife gets on me. She goes, "Why did it take you so long to go to the store?" I go, "You know the deal." Yeah.
Hey, can I tell you, Scott, when I first met Jack, the very first time I met him was inside a Carl's Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Fresno. And Tim told me, he's like, "All right, so... your Jack is a great guy. He's kind of loud. He can be kind of, you know, in your face, but he's a good guy, and he's definitely for the Lord." And I tell you, it was one of the hardest conversations to have with him, because he noticed that a couple, or I can't, maybe it was just a single person, was listening into to what we were saying. And and the crazy thing is that I remember Jack just made eye contact, and then this a man came up and just started asking questions about God, just completely out of the blue. Like, he nowhere near the conversation. It's not like we invited him in. He just said, "Hey, I overheard you," which I was thinking to myself, of course you did. If you were outside across the street of the busy traffic, you probably still heard him. But
at the bus stop across the street. Right.
But the man approached Jack to ask a question about God. Right. And I remember when I saw that, I said, "Man, that's where I want to be. I want to be to the point where people are coming to me, because the shift has happened." You know, God tells us to go out and to seek the lost. That's our command.
Right. But
can you imagine being to the point where God has so much faith and trust in you that, you know, just as much as you have in him, that he's sending them to you? And he's going to – because he knows that you don't have to be in a certain place to do it. You just need to be in any place.
And I'm just so you know, I'm not a perfect. Yeah. I'm not a great Christian. I'm probably the worst Christian on the planet in my eyes. But
I am willing.
Yeah. But I am willing, and God said, God wants me to be willing. And if He sends somebody to me, I'll be honest with you guys. I love some people love sports. Some people love TV. Some people love playing cards. Some people love, you know, they put money, invest time and money into what they love. My buddy's a fisherman, and he owns a boat. He owns a new truck to pull it with. He owns $1,000 worth of fishing equipment, and he loves hunting. He owns guns, all this stuff. I love Jesus Christ. And so when I talk to people, this has happened many times. Tim's heard me say this. I say, look, don't get offended. Please don't get offended. I'm not talking about God to offend you. It's just, you know, you guys talk about your sports, you talk about this, and I don't get offended. Mm-hmm. So why should you get offended? When you talk about what you love, I don't get offended. So why should you get offended when I talk about what I love?
Right. Well, you know, but the big difference in all of that is that what you love and what you talk about causes conviction in their life.
That's the Holy Spirit.
I know that, but that's the thing, is that that's why, you know, like we were saying before about this whole black and white, the reason why there is so much gray is because the gray allows for justification, and it doesn't allow accountability goes out the window, because there is what you have to compare to is this diluted sense of what truth really is. And so long as you've got that diluted sense of truth, then you're okay. Mm. You're perfectly fine. But, you know, as I've said before, you know, people claim that there are many ways to get to heaven. And I'll say, okay, I don't disagree with that. But the only key that fits in the lock to heaven is Jesus Christ. So you might get to the gate. You might knock. But Jesus Christ is going to say, I don't know, you go. Get out of here. Go somewhere. And then, you know, in my mind, it's the Scooby-Doo trap door falls, and they legs kick, and then they, you know, they fall, and the puff of...
You watch too many cartoons.
I loved it. Yeah, you know, the puff of smoke that looks like them, the outline of them is still in its place. Yeah. Scooby-Doo-Doo! Anyway.
You guys are a riot, man.
You know, Tim and I, we work in traffic control, and we have this, we have to use we call it a stop slow paddle. It says stop on one side, like a normal stop sign, and on the back it says slow. And I was holding the sign up, and there's people that drive by, you can clearly see that they don't read English, because they don't understand what the stop paddle means, sure, okay? And they're going to drive right by you, okay? And so I joke one day. I said I need one that says alto, okay? And so what I'm trying to say is that the signs are there. They're clear. The word is clear. The Holy Spirit makes it clear. He convicts, but many people can't read the signs, and that's what prophecy is. That's what we're talking about in the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
All right, guys, we got to take one more break, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. We're 3 hours into it, and Jack and I got to get up early for work. But stay on the line, because we want to come back to you guys, and we'll wrap it up. We'll be right back after these words you're listening to. Okay. Let's Get Jacked Up.
Right on.
I'm sorry for everyone involved, but we have got to take a break, or I am going to get very angry.
You're very persuasive for your size.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on Fringe Radio Network!
That sounds very familiar. Does everybody run to talk like this, or...
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at FringeRadioNetwork.com.
Hello, everybody. Jack Blankenship here. If you get a chance and you're on Facebook, check out the Prayer Chain. It's Prayer Chain for followers and fans of Jesus Christ. We don't talk any politics. We don't discuss religion. There's no pretty quote. We are there to do intercessory prayer for the needy. That's it. It's God's work. It's God's Prayer Chain. Join us. May God bless you this day.
I tend to like things neat and clean. That's not always true of my desk. It's not even true of my own soul. I may be a pastor, but I'm far from perfect. I'm Chips Ross, pastor of Westwood Baptist Church in Fresno, California. Sin makes a mess of our souls and our hearts. God knows this, and he corrects this. As we go through Psalm 19, notice how David takes what is true of God and connects it to the mess of his own soul. The start in verse 1 is this: the heavens are declaring of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Take a look around you and see the creation of your great God. It's not Mother Nature, it is his creation. It has a story to tell you about its creator. From there, David moves to the glory of God in the Word of God. Let me read verses 7 through 9 in a row, all of them talking about the value and importance of the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. From there, David knows that reading God's word changes him. To deal with a mess in your soul, you need God.
Hello, I'm Elmer Fudd.
The comedy that's uniformly funny.
there's a god.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Now here's Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
All right, we're back and we are talking with Michael Basham.
And Scott. What's Scott's last name?
I'm sorry.
Howdy, howdy. Sorry, I have like two things on at the same time. Becker, this is Scott Becker with us in the studio
Scott
today.
Becker, all right.
Very honored to have
you. There you go. Well, yeah, we're very happy to have you on. And,
Luke Skywalker in the background with his lightsaber.
With Spirit Wars.
I don't know if you noticed, but, all of these awesome buffers that we have, they're all created by Tim. Tim gets his buddies and sometimes myself or Jack to just say funny stuff, and then he splices it all together and makes these awesome buffers to lead in and to lead out of commercial breaks. And
they are so good.
Aren't they great?
I'm going to use them. And we're going to use them. We're going to do a Fringe Radio Network live, like, 24-hour stream as much as possible.
Well, let me tell you this.
We're going to use those buffers in between the shows.
Here's the thing that I actually want you guys to do, and I want you to communicate this out. And it's not something that can happen, just instantly, but give us names. Give us your permission to use your guys' title and all that stuff, your show name. And I think that would be a fun little project for us to do. Not that we're already, so busy as it is. But the thing is that, that's one thing that we enjoy doing is putting out a quality product.
Right.
And like I said, Tim is awesome at it. I try it, and I'm horrible. It sounds like when I'm done, you would much rather just listen to sticks rubbing against each other. But
I enjoy doing it, and God's given me experience to do it, so I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, yeah. So anyways, back to what we were talking about before, just this idea of Christ being such a heavy influence in our life. You know, we've only got about 5 minutes left of the show, guys. So just because, you know, it's nearly midnight over here on, in our neck of the woods, and these boys have to be up at four. So, yeah, we're going to cut it a little bit short. But, you know, the thing that that Scott really hit on the head is that he talked about how he was down in the dirt. He's down at their level. You know, Hawaii is known for being beautiful, but there's a real dark side. There's a lot of addiction issues. There's a lot of, you know, crystal meth and other, you know, opioids and all these other things that are a true crisis there. And for a man who's in his situation, despite his circumstances, is able to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ despite these things. What a testimony, you know, and that again just plays heavily on my idea that people's testimony is the gateway to Christ.
Right. And it's, you know, your testimony, you live out your testimony and people see that.
That's it. And like, you know, I think that's what makes you and Jack, approachable, right? People are just afraid of me because I'm kind of a weirdo and, you know, picking my nose in public or whatever. So they may not approach. Well, I mean, and then when I go to shake your hand, that's kind of weird, right? So anyway.
Well, but, you can ask Michael. I mean, I don't look like the most approachable person. I mean, yeah. Some people are afraid of me.
Look, today we went to 7-Eleven, got one of those little Japanese manpao things or whatever they're called. What was it? What did we get? The chicken, like a bread.
7-Eleven?
Bread, anyway.
Dude, it's Hawaii.
I got to go to 7-Eleven once in a while. I haven't been to 7-Eleven in like 20 years.
No, I just came back from Maui and I hadn't seen Scott in like a week. And I was like, let's hang out and talk a little bit. And we went there and literally out of nowhere, this guy just barges into the 7-Eleven, rushes up to him, stares at him like dead in the face, like nose to nose. And he's like, hi, I am artistic. I am trying to socialize more. Hi, wow. Would you like to talk to me?
And that is like, awesome.
Do I need to apprehend this guy?
You didn't tackle him?
Scott just witnesses to him, and I'm standing there behind him, like ready to grab him in case he does something. Sure.
Well, you know, what a blessing. I just want to say it's such a blessing because my background is I'm in the education field. Specifically with children with disabilities. And so to hear that, I mean, that actually melts my heart because it's a big step for that young man or old man or whatever his age was to do that. But God put him in a place where he would be able to interact with someone of compassion that would be willing to look past the awkwardness and the you know all of those things that autism and other disabilities might present and is able to just be real with them. So Scott, that's awesome.
Oh. Well, it was cool because he came up to me and he approached me. And I wasn't sure what he wanted, but he basically just goes, "I'm autistic and I'm trying to learn how to socialize," and he was doing a great job with it, you know. And I just asked him a couple questions. I go, "Do you know God?" And he goes, "Oh yes, I love God." And I go, "Do you have Christ as your Savior?" And he goes, "Oh yes, I love Jesus." And so like there it was. He was he was already cool, you know.
Yeah.
And so. And he was like just happy to talk to me and just, you know, he was just blessed that someone would converse with him. And I was going, you know, you're doing a really good job, you know, socializing. I said, you're doing great, man. And the conversation just kind of flowed. It just, but like Michael said, it was just the most awkward thing. It was like this guy just kind of bum rushed me. And it's like, just come blurt all this stuff out. And wow. I mean, that's a God thing. That has nothing Amen. To do with me.
You know, and it's funny because. I picture just a big beam of light shining down on you that only he could see. You know, like it's just like he knew that he needed to go into that 7-Eleven and to talk to you, never mind anybody else.
Well, you know, it's like it was almost preordained. It was like a divine appointment. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Well, it says that the not to worry about what you'll say because the Holy Spirit at that time will give you the words and. It also says that our Holy Spirit will testify to others that have the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
We'll know one with another because of that. And this whole thing, I was years ago, something happened. I shared this with the guys. And I was at a swap meet in Leesburg, Florida. And I was promoting my newspaper that I owned then. And I was pushing the newspaper, and I had a booth set up. And you had to go in and be set up by 7 a.m. And you couldn't leave until 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, something like that. And right at the last minute, they close the gate, and this guy comes in. He pulls up to the gate in his car and is honking his horn and laying on his horn. And they go to the gate, and he tells them he's got his booth right there and he needs to get in. And they let him in anyway. And so he goes in and he sets up his booth, and they tell him, now nobody can leave until 3 o'clock. And he sets up, and the whole time he's setting up, he's looking at me, and he's like, he's mad at me. He's angry with me. And some people from a local church that knew me came by, and they talked to me for a few minutes, and they moved on. And I'm something in me saying, hey, talk to this guy. And so I start trying to talk to him, and he turns around and he goes, look, I don't like you. You stay over there on your side, and don't you come near me. You just stay over there. And I go, oh. And so,
that sounds like an invitation to get closer.
And I am who I am. Yeah. So I start leaning on the actual fence, the little gate thing that's between the two booths. And I'm going, so what do you got for sale there? You know, I'm ribbing, going at him and talking to him about, is that a phone thing? Can I see that phone thing right there? Cause he's selling phone covers. And he's leave me alone. You stay over on your side.
You dirty rat.
Yeah. And he's real mean, and he's in my growling at me. And so anyway, 12 o'clock comes up or so about there, and he starts packing up all the stuff. And And he's not supposed to leave till 3. And he starts packing all of his stuff, and he starts walking to the gate. And one of the caretakers comes over. He says, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And he says, I'm leaving. And he says, what do you mean you're leaving? You can't leave till 3. He says, I can't take him no more. I'm leaving. I'm not going to sit here with him next to me. And he goes, but dude, it's too dangerous for you to be moving your vehicles in and out of here with the public here. We can't let you go. He says, I'm leaving, and you can't keep me here. And he climbs in his car, and he drives through the people and up to the gate and leaves. And the people next to me go, wow, on the other side of me, they come up and they go, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I go, yeah, is it that obvious? She goes, it was to him. He hates Christians. And he was, come to find out, he was like Iranian or something, Muslim. And she goes, he was just offended by your presence even being here. And I said, my presence, it wasn't my presence, is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm just a temple. I'm just a vessel that's there. And right. I said, so if he was mad at anybody, he was mad at Jesus Christ. He wasn't mad at me. And I can take that heat. Get mad at Jack. That's the saying that we have on the show. You might not get mad at Bobby and Tim. They're the nice guys. But you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at Jack. I got broad shoulders and Christ can take care of me. I don't care.
I get mad at Jack a lot, so it's fair.
But
all right, so
the love between you, brethren. We know that you are real disciples. We see the love between them.
I love him so much. I just want to squeeze him and hold him till he stops breathing.
Oh yeah, my! Yeah.
and then bury him in the backyard.
You just want to love him to death, huh?
That's right. All right. Well, hey guys, we appreciate you being here, but it's about that time. Yeah. We need to get going. It's such a blessing to have you guys here, I hope that we can make this more of a regular engagement, because the best way for us as members of the Christian community, but even more specifically of the Fringe Network, is to be a community of people. We don't even have to think the same way, but we need to be in the same realm together. And I think that by having this one-on-one type engagement, it allows for that. And it's so exciting to think that, there's a potential of us going on your show, or maybe we go over to the Iron Man show. Is that, I say that? Is it Iron Man? Wink, wink. I know.
Wink, wink.
And then, Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man. was it Iron Pants? Yes. Is that what it was?
The Iron Show.
The Iron Pants Show? Dude, it's so cool.
Man, you are really
– I know.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Johnny.
Sorry.
Are you baiting Johnny?
I'm not. I almost called him Ed McMahon, but I'm not going to do that to him. Anyways, even though I just did. So, but the thing is that, you know, we're able to banter with each other. We're able to have fun. We're able to be truthful about our experiences with Christ, and we're doing it in a way that comes from a love that only God can give us. You know, otherwise we're always going to fall short. So thank you guys so much for coming on. I pray that you guys get into some experiences that will really challenge you and just remind you how lucky you are, how privileged you are to be a part of Christ's family.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, we're going to close in prayer.
And how lucky we are to be on Let's Get Jacked Up.
Hey, there we go.
Hey, Michael, before we say a prayer, go ahead and give out your Patreon.
Yeah. Go to spiritwarsmedia.com, and the links are all there. Follow us on everything and patron us if you like. We appreciate all of our patron supporters that supply for our office. Scott is one of them. I appreciate so much everybody that's blessed us. And guys, I'm going to interview each one of you individually.
Awesome.
And get your testimony.
I think I have contract differences.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Hey, Brother Michael, would you mind saying a prayer for us on our way out?
There you go.
Well, Lord, thank you, Jesus, so much. We praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah, you. We draw you down into our presence, into our places, our homes, wherever we are listening to this, whether it's live or recorded. We just ask for your Holy Spirit to fill our homes and bless each of our family members and the people that we're around and the people that we're going to meet, and set up possible just Holy Spirit setups for us to meet people that need you. And just challenge us, take us to the next level, to touch people around us, wherever we go, 7-Eleven or at work or at school, everywhere. Just challenge us, take us to the next level. I pray that this podcast will bring people to the frontier and the fringe of our faith to break through into new levels. In Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers.
Amen.
And thank you for the network. Bless it. Continue to bless it and prosper it in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. You know, and on that note, what a great way to finish it. So, guys, thanks again. Everyone listening, thank you for listening in. For those of you who liked our live stream, thank you so much for putting your little heart mark on there. The more, the better. You know, please be an encouragement to the other people. If you found something that that you like that we're sharing, please get it out there. You know, our goal is not to be promoting ourselves, but to be promoting Christ. And so, man, so if we're doing our job, please let other people hear that opportunity to get to know him. Man. So on that, thank you guys. Good night.
Amen.
You guys are doing a great job. Thank you. It's nice meeting you guys, and we'll do this again.
Amen thank to that, you. Brother.
Thank you for being on. Good night, everybody.
We love you guys.
I love you guys, man. Sorry I hijacked Michael's show.
It was awesome. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at FringeRadioNetwork.com. Remember to be in this world, but not of this world.
Listening to the Fringe Radio Network at FringeRadioNetwork.com.
We know you love your music, so we'll be quick. We love helping you stream the hottest music. And since you're the de facto DJ, everyone's counting on you. So we reimagined Wi-Fi and created Xfinity XFi, so you can stream your favorite tunes with reliable speeds whenever, wherever. Whether you're hosting a party or doing a little spring cleaning, you can stream confidently with XFi. This is beyond Wi-Fi. This is XFi. Visit Xfinity.com/XFi to learn more.